happy about my density. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. Few will argue what Congressman Mark Foley of Florida did was wrong, and the potential for something terrible happening was probably increasing with every suggestive email he sent to the young boys on Capitol Hill, the teenage pages. Foley knew it. He resigned. But CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says of the Republican leadership who knew all about it and did nothing to stop it, today the ethics committee said, well, they can breathe a sigh of relief.
The committee took no action against any member of the outgoing Republican leadership, but made clear they didn't do enough to protect the teenage pages targeted by former Congressman Mark Foley. They found that House Speaker Dennis Hastert and other top officials knew about emails they said went well beyond being overly friendly and looked the other way. They say one leader was warned that Foley was a ticking time bomb and said a top staffer warned Foley 10 times to stay away from the young pages. The report says there was willful ignorance and failure to pursue allegations driven in part by worry about political embarrassment. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On the scale of terrorist, he probably doesn't rate much higher rank than Walter Mitty. But federal agents have pounced on 22-year-old Derek Sharif and put him out of business.
We believe we've neutralized this threat.
Special Agent Robert Grant says Sharif had zeroed in on his target, Rockford's Cherryvale Mall in upstate Illinois. He was going to set off a series of explosions amid the crowd of last-minute Christmas shoppers.
He began to focus on obtaining weapons, began to prepare himself through a purification process. He began to prepare videos in the event he did not survive the attack.
U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says it's not believed Sharif was acting on orders from overseas. It's not believed he was getting any money from overseas. In fact, that became obvious when Sharif tried to obtain what the government called the weapons of mass destruction he planned to explode at the mall. 4 grenades. He was arrested when he tried to trade his stereo speakers for the grenades with a couple of federal agents. Outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld today saying goodbye at the Pentagon. He says his worst day was probably the revelations of the abuse at Abu Ghraib. How about your best day?
I guess my best day, I don't know, may be a week from Monday.
A week from Monday is when the new Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, takes over. Abu Ghraib has been a terrible occurrence for Joe Darby. In a 60 Minutes piece this Sunday night, Anderson Cooper reports on the guy who turned the incriminating photos over to authorities.
People felt this is a very tight-knit military community, and people felt that what he did was harmful not only for the United States, but harmful to his own friends, to his unit. And though they felt that perhaps what happened was inappropriate and wrong, they felt it was even worse that Darby made this decision to turn the photos over.
Cooper says Darby can't go home, lives stateside now, but with his wife under constant protection and in constant fear. On the markets, the Dow closed up 30, the NASDAQ up 10. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Sunday on Showtime. The question isn't where were you during the last terrorist attack. It's where will you be for the next one?
We have to find out where the nukes are coming from and intercept them.
Showtime. presents Sleeper Cell, American Terror, an all-new television event.
We must strike first.
The show the New York Times called Better Than 24 is back.
Your world is never going to be safe again.
Sleeper Cell, American Terror, premieres Sunday at 9, 8 Central on Showtime. To subscribe, call 1-800-SHOWTIME or go to SHO.com.
Big arrest in Orlando for the IRS. The details from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Wesley Snipes flew here from Africa, went to court in Ocala, and stopped here again on his way back to Africa to finish a movie.
I want to say thank you to all my fans. Thank you for the support from my family and to my foes. Thank you very much as well.
But as to the charges he faces,
I look forward to vindicating myself. I look forward to clearing my name.
Snipes pled not guilty to claiming $12 million in phony refunds and failure file tax returns. He posted a $1 million bond, a judge allowing him to leave the country as long as he's back by January 10th.
Two New York pilots are coming home, but it's not over. They're being charged in connection with a deadly plane crash in Brazil. They're accused of exposing an aircraft to danger after their small plane collided with a Brazilian jet, and 154 people were killed in the crash. After being detained, they will face trial again when they return.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 3 o'clock, welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. It's just us today, and we have lots to talk about. And it's always toll-free. And the more of you who join the conversation, the more vibrant the conversation is. And more of you are getting over your fears and calling. If you've never called a radio talk show, which most of you, 99.9% of you, have never called in. And I hope you'll try it, because we love hearing from you. It absolutely makes our day, and particularly when you say something significant, and we love that. And when you say something funny, we love that too, even more. So if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, or if you're not, 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Let me begin locally, which I often do in the first hour. First of all, if you have been listening to Enid Live for any period of time at all, you will have heard us during the election trying to get rid of Deep Doolittle. We haven't heard anything about him much since the election, where he barely squeaked by. But there is news, and it's kind of breaking news, and here it is. Representative John Doolittle, we were in favor of Charlie Brown, and he almost made it. He lost by the barest little few numbers, so every vote always counts, and particularly in a race that tight. And in a district as heavily gerrymandered to be red, probably the reddest district in the whole state of California, Charlie Brown came this close to winning. Well, here it is. Representative John Doolittle has run up another $44,000 in legal fees with a prominent Washington, D.C. law firm that specializes in cases involving campaign finance and ethics matters. The Doolittle campaign said it incurred the debt to this law firm between mid-October and mid-November. 1 month's worth of legal fees, $44,000. It paid the firm what appeared to be a $10,000 retainer in August. The legal fees to this firm are in addition to about $50,000 that Doolittle has paid this year to a prominent Virginia criminal defense attorney that Doolittle said he retained in an effort to, quote, clear his name in the ongoing investigation of disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Do you know what this tells us? I think it tells us that things must be heating up for Doolittle. He has paid $50,000 to a criminal defense attorney, and he's paid $44,000, and the $44,000 is only for 1 month's worth of legal work. He's paid $44,000 to a law firm, the firm of Wiley and Rain, for services between mid-October and mid-November. And this is a law firm that specializes in cases involving campaign finance and ethics matters, of which Doolittle has almost none. He has none. Any ethics he has are preceded by both a decimal point and a minus sign. So he has paid almost $100,000 to attorneys in just a fairly short period of time, for less than a year's worth of legal help. The $44,000 is just for a month's worth. So what does this tell us about the trouble that Doolittle might be in? He might not be able to serve out his term. Maybe we're going to have a special election. Maybe Charlie Brown better fire up his campaign signs and all of his campaign people, and maybe he's back in business again. We can only dream. 349-1320-866-626-1320. $44,000. Somebody do the math at maybe $400 an hour. Well, how many hours is that? At $400 an hour, what's 44,000? How many hours is 44,000? $400 an hour. I can't do it in my head right now because I'm busy thinking about nothing, like a cat. Like cats and dogs, they think about food, sex, and nothing. And then when they're neutered, it's food and nothing. And if you're a talk host, it's food and nothing, or just plain nothing. Well, if you're the minister of OxyContin, you're thinking about OxyContin. You're not thinking of a white Christmas. You are thinking of an OxyContin Christmas. In any event, Doolittle has paid $44,000. Well, it's probably, I don't know, what is it, about a 160 hours or something like that at $400 an hour. So anyway, $44,000, and that's just to one set of lawyers. So that law firm specializes in campaign and ethics issues, and the other law firm that he's paid $50,000 to specializes in criminal defense matters. So if between mid-October and November he knew he was consulting heavily with a law firm, it was during the run-up to the election. Of course, did he tell us? Did he happen to mention that in any of his campaign appearances, of which there were none, hardly, except for with Dickey was in town and Laura, Mrs. Dickey. Dickey and Mrs. Dickey were around, but we didn't see much of Doolittle, and he could barely bestir himself to do that ridiculous debate where he was sour and nasty, and he really couldn't debate point by point. He should have let all of his attorneys that he spent almost $100,000 with in just a few months' period of time, he should have let them instruct him in how to properly debate an issue with somebody who is just a rookie, and that was Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown did far better in the debate than the experienced pro Doolittle. Do nothing but spend well, it's a good thing his wife, foresight, all I can tell you, foresight. It's a good thing Mrs. Doolittle, Mrs. Deep Doo Doo, has been raking in that 15% of all the donations you make to John Doolittle, because they're going to need it for their legal fees. So you break the law, and then all that money that you raked into your coffers, you're going to need it for the attorneys, and they are the ones who are going to come out very well on this deal. There is a new bill. California lawmakers are considering whether to require young girls to be vaccinated against a virus spread by John Deep Doo Doo Doo. No, I'm just kidding. A virus spread almost exclusively through sex, but it can be deadly. A new legislative proposal would create the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender, girls, and the only one aimed at a virus contracted solely by genital contact. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Assemblywoman Sally Lieber's measure, Assembly Bill 16, AB 16, would require girls to be vaccinated against the human papilloma virus, HPV, as a condition of entering sixth grade in public or private schools, and this would occur after July 1, 2008. For the first time, there is a vaccine that can prevent a particular form of cancer, and we want to take advantage of that, said Sally Lieber. Dr. Len Frommer, past president of the California Academy of Family Physicians, said his aunt's life could have been saved if such a vaccine had been available years ago. Any policy that improves the likelihood that people who should get the vaccine do get the vaccine is a good thing. But critics worry about the possibility of sending a mixed message, with parents urging girls not to have sex and AB 16 requiring them to be immunized against a risk that only exists if they do. What kind of message is it to tell a young girl that she needs a shot because you expect her to have sex before she's 15? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like this idea. I don't like the idea that you need a shot against human papillomavirus as a condition of entering sixth grade. Well, you well then why don't you have shots for all kinds of other things that there are shots for? I mean, I think you make it available. I think that if parents think it's a good thing, it's not. For example, we do require that kids be immunized against. You know, you have to have a series of shots when you're a little kid, and I don't know what those are. And there are all kinds of shots for measles, I think, and mumps, and, of course, polio, and tetanus, and all that. But I don't think, I don't know what the law says about having to have certain shots before you can go to school. I think you have to have some shots, but not all shots. And the reason is that a lot of these diseases are contagious. But something like the human papillomavirus, genital warts, and so on—that's only that only happens if you're having if you're having genital contact. So it's not anything that goes through the air like you might get with some of these other illnesses. So to say that a girl cannot enter the sixth grade until she has this vaccination, I don't think that's right. I don't think you want to legislate about stuff like that, because where do you stop? I mean, it's a very nice thing, and parents may want to do that. But I don't think that if that's the case, why don't we legislate that you have to have every single vaccination that is available there? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is this a good idea to legislate what vaccinations you should have? Whether you should be vaccinated against HPV, the human papillomavirus, as a condition of entering the sixth grade if you're a girl. I guess it doesn't work for boys. But it is a new legislative proposal that would create the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender, girls, and the only one aimed at a virus contracted solely by genital contact. Is this something that we want to do in this state? I think you make it available. Maybe you make it available at reduced prices. Maybe you put out a lot of information to parents and to the girls themselves, and you make it a voluntary situation. You don't legislate that you have to have this shot, or else you can't enter the sixth grade. I mean, for one thing, you could have kids coming from... I just see a lot of pitfalls. I see a lot of paperwork. I see a slippery slope where you legislate that you have to have this, you have to be immunized here. But what about other diseases? What about tuberculosis, for example? And I don't know what's available for tuberculosis, which is highly contagious. And what happens if somebody comes in from another state, transfers in? Do they have to have it before they can enroll? What if they come in at a later grade, at the eighth grade, at the ninth grade? Do they have to I mean, what's the story here? Why is this a good thing? Is this a good thing? Are you in favor of this? I'm not in favor of this. I know it sounds good. I know it sounds like it might be helpful. But I don't think you should make a law about it. Because then where would you stop? So if this is a useful vaccination for girls to have, then make it available. Make it available at low cost. It's not contagious if somebody decides, it's not contagious in an airborne way, if somebody decides not to have the vaccination. But do we really want to legislate that you can't enter the sixth grade without this particular vaccination? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Yesterday, Bonnie Wolf was our guest. And this is an excerpt from her book. It was a book about the joys of eating together, cooking, wonderful recipes, wonderful memories of cooking with her family in the kitchen. Even relatives that she doesn't know, she has their recipes, and it's a way to keep that tradition going, even if these relatives are long gone by the time you got their recipes. She says, family dinners are where we give our kids meals, manners, and the meaning of life. The dinner table is the finishing school, the place where children are civilized. They learn not to talk with their mouths full, to say please and thank you, to keep their elbows off the table, to serve from the left and remove from the right. They learn to participate in conversation, and sometimes they learn to listen to other people talk. They see how adults reason or don't. Things come up when you sit down together, and there are fewer distractions. I'm glad I was at the table the night our 7-year-old son asked if they found the lost city of Atlantis, how many electoral votes would it have? If you don't eat together, you don't hear this stuff. I think it's a wonderful sentiment for the holidays. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So we're talking about John Doolittle. He spent $44,000 and change just with one law firm for 1 month. And that was in mid-October to mid-November. So during the time, the run-up to the election, what does this mean? And he's already, this is in addition to the $50,000 he's already spent with a criminal defense attorney. So almost $100,000 in legal bills. I think it must be heating up for him. Something is in the works. We can only pray that they're going to haul him off to the pokey quickly. And California lawmakers are considering whether to require young girls to be vaccinated against a virus spread almost exclusively through sex. And it would target, it's the only law in the state, immunization requirement, that would target a single gender, and that's girls. And the only one aimed at a virus contracted solely by genital contact. And you couldn't enter the sixth grade. You're not allowed to enter the sixth grade if this gets passed unless you've been vaccinated. I don't think it's such a great idea. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some traffic going on. It looks like for the weekend, we're going south on 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Northbound 49 at Smith Road. Now, I mention this because that three-car crash is stopping things down quite drastically. No traffic is moving through there. Madison Avenue, just west of Dewey Drive, we have a two-car crash. Northbound I-5, just north of Del Paso Road. And southbound I-5, just north of Florin Road. Northbound Cap City Freeway, too, we got a two-car crash over there. Our weather tonight, we're going to see some scattered showers. Highs tomorrow right around 61. We saw 68 today, though. It was pretty nice. And on through the weekend, about 57. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, it's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
sunny day with tonight's AccuTerror forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerror is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerror radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Yeah. Talk to Enid now,
3:25 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Are you telling everybody about this? Are you telling everybody that 1320 is here and Enid Live is here and we're always having a great conversation? Or at least we try to. And it is always much greater when you participate. The lines are full right now. They will open up, and when they do, I'll give out the numbers. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about John Doolittle, and it has just been revealed that he paid $44,000 to lawyers, and that's just for 1 month's worth of legal work. And this is a law firm that specializes in campaign finance and ethics matters. And the one that most of you want to talk about are these shots, these vaccinations for little girls. You can't enter the sixth grade unless you've been vaccinated against the human papillomavirus, HPV, which you can only get through genital contact. Which a lot of people think sends a mixed message. I don't have a problem so much with that. I just think that the state legislating, and it works, I think about 70% of the, it targets four strains that cause about 70% of cervical cancers and about 90% of genital warts, but not 100%. And I'm just wondering about the state requiring you to be immunized against something that's not an airborne, it's not like tuberculosis. Is that what we really want? That is the question. But before we get to that, let's talk for a moment to Frank in Wessex. Hi, Frank. You're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
I had a comment for that John Doolittle. You know, he spent like $440.
$44,000.
Yeah, but he spent like $440 an hour. He's getting represented per hour. You know,
I don't know what they I don't know what they charge per hour.
And you know, that's what happens when you're a rat trying to crawl out of a hole. You know, he's you know, like they say in New York, he's a dirtbag. You know, and the people of California, you know, deserve better. And I hope that he does get prosecuted.
Well, if he does, I think Charlie Brown will have an easy walk to representing that district. Frank, I thank you for the call. You know what? I think that it's been $100,000 for just a few months' worth of legal work between the criminal defense attorney firm, and the attorneys who specialize in campaign and ethics issues. So I don't know. $100,000, something's going on. 349-1320, Alan and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Enid. My concern is that the government doesn't decide what's going to actually go in my daughter's body. And I'm with you. It's just like when they wanted her to dress up in a uniform. I decided that she's going to have a waiver and she's going to wear clothes because I, as the adult, I, as the parent, decide what's in the best interest of my daughter. And the wacky thing is she's grown up, she's responsible, she's 19, she's going to college, and she's a responsible human being. It's kind of a wacky thing being a parent and then actually being
well, you know, you can also say that if in a room full of kids who have uniforms, if she's not wearing one, it can help her, it can hurt her. She stands out and it makes her maybe feel like an outsider. But I'm assuming it all turned out well. And I thank you, Alan, for the call. 349-1320. What about the shots that would be required? It's the only immunization requirement that the state would, you know, require. This proposal would create the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender, girls, and the only one aimed at a virus contracted solely by genital contact. I mean, if they can require you, you can't enter the sixth grade. I mean, there's something draconian about this. Yes, make it available. Yes, we want the things that will help us live to be 1,000 years old, you know, so we will bedevil our enemies and not make our beneficiaries happy. But to say you can't enter the sixth grade until you've had this, I don't know, and it's certainly a windfall for that drug company. I don't like it. It's got a bad odor about it to me. Jeff, in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid.
You know, the thing about it, though, is that particular vaccine is most effective at an early age. The older a person gets, it begins to lose its effectiveness, and they're trying to get people early on. I did have one question for you related to this. If there was a vaccine that could be given to a 12-year-old girl that would prevent, in 70% of the cases, say, breast cancer later on in life, would you be in favor of that?
I'd certainly be in favor of it, but I don't know that I would make it mandatory.
Okay.
You know, the question is, do you make it that you say to somebody, here's a vaccine that will prevent you in 70% of the cases, you won't get breast cancer, and it is mandatory. You have to do this in order to enter the sixth grade. That's the part I have the problem with. You make it available, and then everybody thinks about what they want to do. Maybe they'll do it in seventh grade. Maybe they'll do it in eighth grade.
Well, when you say, though, that no other vaccines are required, I don't know if it, I guess maybe you could waive out of vaccines, but I thought that vaccines were required.
Yeah, no, vaccines are required, but none that target only a single gender, none that target only girls. And if you, there are ways to opt out of some of these. The California laws give parents the right to veto any vaccination for their child by filing a letter with school officials stating that participation would violate their beliefs. You know, if you're a Christian Scientist, you wouldn't do this to your kids.
Well, wouldn't you be able to opt out of this as well? Is there any indication that this is something that
you might be able to opt out of it, but I don't know the idea that you have to opt out. Why? Do you want the state to tell you what vaccinations you have when it's not something that you can catch through the air?
Well, no, and I think that's part of the problem here is that it seems as though what you're doing is you're saying if it's catchable through the air, then, you know,
I think that they have a better case to make.
But the problem is that HPV is almost at epidemic proportions in a certain age cohort. I mean, if people between the ages of 16 and, I don't know, maybe 25, this is becoming so common. I heard doctor who used to do with Adam Carolla, I can't remember his name, Dr. Drew Pinsky, was talking about HPV one time, and he said it is getting so prevalent that there will come a time when just about everybody will be infected with this.
All right, now let's ask, I want to put the call out, Jeff, and I thank you for raising this issue. I want to put the call out for anybody who's a professional. If you're an MD, if you are an OBGYN, if you handle or know anything about HPV and the incidence of of this disease and whether or not it's a good idea to require. To suggest is one thing, but to require is something else in the sixth grade. You can't go into the sixth grade in a public school unless you've been vaccinated. I don't know about that. That's a part that troubles me. Denise in Fair Oaks, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to weigh in on the vaccination issue, and your last caller brings up a very important point that it's in epidemic proportions. Well, the fact is that so is obesity in young adolescents. So does that mean that we have to require them for their own good to be on an OptiFast diet or something?
Well, that's exactly it. That's the slippery slope I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You can't go into the sixth grade unless you weigh a certain amount. And if you tip the scales, they won't let you into the sixth grade.
I so agree with you, because here we are. We're talking once again about government legislating women's bodies, legislating our decisions. And I agree with you. It's a wonderful idea. It needs to be...
Here's what you do. If these vaccinations are so great, this is what you do. You make them... You have clinics. Maybe you have the clinics on campus. Maybe you charge very little for it. Maybe you have free clinics. You put out the word. And if parents want to do that for their kids, if the kids want it, if everybody wants it, that's fine. But to require it and to say, you can't go into the sixth grade until you are immunized, I don't think that's the part of the equation I don't think is right.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And I want to make one other comment about the Doolittle issue that I've been thinking about calling you since the election. Do you recall on the night they weren't ready to call the election yet, and he was going home to watch returns, and he was really it didn't look like he was very enthusiastic. He looked like a deer in headlights when it says, "You look like you've won, John Doolittle," but, you know, he said, "Well, I'm very cautious about it." And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, he isn't very happy because, yes, he won, but there's also a Democratic control in Congress, which means you're now exposed.
Well, I can only, and boy, wouldn't that make a Playboy calendar. We can only hope he exposes himself.
I love it. Drop your pants, baby.
That's it. Well, you know, he has exposed himself. Well, we know him for what he is. And if you have to spend $44,000 in legal fees for 1 month's work, then I have to tell for 1 month's legal, you know, for 1 month's worth of attorneys, and I've got to tell you, he's in the soup, is what I'm thinking.
I love it.
I do too. Denise, karma, the train is maybe could be stopping at his residence. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid Goldstein. Things are happening on our traffic. Southbound I-5 just north of Florin Road. We have a two-car crash. Madison Avenue just west of Dewey Drive. There's a two-car crash, and that is appearing to block traffic. It looks like we've got emergency vehicles on scene. Our weather. I love the weather lately. Lows tonight, 37. Highs tomorrow, we're going to see about 59 scattered showers on through the weekend. Sunny, though, by Monday. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento. Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel, the only channel left.
Want to get to the next?
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Bells will be ringing.
Talk to Enid now.
349-1320. Oh, what a Christmas to hear the blues. My baby.
Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. Well, this explains everything. Britney Spears has just been caught with drugs, so I guess that's why she's running around with no panties on all over the internet. Not a Bette Midler has called her a wild and woolly slut, but we'll get to that part. Speaking of sluts, we're talking about John Doolittle, who he's a political slut. Well, he's a pimp. That's what he is. And what he has done is it is... In his campaign filings, what we know is that he spent $44,000 for legal services for just 1 month. That's it. For just 1 month, $44,000 with one firm, a firm specializing in ethical issues and campaign issues and that sort of thing. In addition, he has spent another $50,000 with a criminal defense firm. So in less than a year, just in a few months' period of time, he spent almost $100,000 in legal fees. So I don't know what that means, except I would assume that it means things are heating up for him. We're also talking about the fact that the state of California is thinking about requiring immunization for just girls. It would be the first law that requires immunizing only one sex against the human papillomavirus. You couldn't enter the sixth grade unless you were immunized. I'm not saying this isn't a good thing medically, but to require it, to say that, you know, by law you have to be immunized, that's the part of it that I have a real problem with. Because if you do it there, where else are you going to do it? Where is the slippery slope? And this is not an airborne disease. So if you're a medical professional, I would love to hear from you on this. Is this something you think is a great idea? And why don't we immunize for every single thing that we can? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Kathy in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
Gosh, I almost always agree with you, and this time I really don't.
Tell me.
You know, I'm pretty old. I'm old enough that I remember when people had polio, and when kids had polio, and when they died from polio, and I remember when the vaccine came out. And there was nothing optional about this vaccine. Everybody had to go to school districts, local schools, and get the polio vaccine with the idea that we could wipe out polio, which was a very exciting idea, and we all went down, and we all did it, and it was the right thing to do.
Yes,
it
but
would have been more right if we had taken the polio vaccine all around the world and made sure, and really wiped out polio.
Kathy, the difference between the polio vaccine and this vaccine for HPV is polio. You could get it in swimming pools. You could get the people didn't always know how you got it, but you didn't get it through genital activity.
But
which
we had the option to wipe it out. We had the option to nearly wipe out this awful thing that happened.
That's nice, but do you want to require that somebody be that somebody can't go into the sixth grade until they have been immunized? And it doesn't wipe it out. Kathy, listen to me. This targets four strains of HPV that cause about 70% of cervical cancer and about 90% of genital warts.
My mother died of cervical cancer. I want the option to wipe out to the extent that we can, 70%.
Yeah, but you just said to me you want the option. Should it be mandatory for everybody? What if, you know, every... Pardon me?
It's not wiped out, is it, if it's optional?
It's never wiped out. Is polio? Are you required to get a vaccination now against polio?
These days,
Kathy, are we still required to get vaccinations against polio? Because in a lot of places, it has wiped out, but it's also come back as well.
It has, and that's because we didn't take that vaccine around the world.
I thank you for the call. Kathy is very impassioned. Do you agree with her? 349, we have one line open, 349-1320. The part that I disagree with is requiring us, you can't go to school unless you've been vaccinated. That's the part I have a problem with. Richard, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Thanks, Enid. I'm retired, and I have a different take on it. I read in the newspaper, which is not very reliable all the time.
All right, you're a retired what?
Public health advisor, they called it. I was a lay epidemiologist.
Okay.
Anyway, with working with STD, and they would have the same problem if they had an AIDS vaccine of not being acceptable. In other words, in this particular case, the student and the parents would be able to opt out at any time. They sign a form saying, for medical or religious reasons, I don't want this. The other problem is only a few insurance companies would pay for this. A great many people, as you know, are uninsured, and they're going to opt out because they would have to pay for the vaccination. The other thing is the morality of it. When boys are contributing greatly to the spread of that condition, why are the boys not involved in the in receiving the vaccination? All of those things.
Well, I don't know if it targets boys or if it only works on girls. And if you're going to do that to the girls, what about requiring boys to use condoms in the sixth grade? I mean, it gets into a whole soup. I think what you do, if you are convinced that this is a very good thing and dealing with a public health issue, I think it's good to make it available to everybody and to say, look, this would be a good thing. This is a very fine thing to do. Close down this disease. But I don't think you can say that the state requires you to have it before you can be in the sixth grade.
Well, I would agree with you 100%. A better idea might be to tie it all in with a driver's license and have a part of that situation. In other words, you get your driver's license when you get this vaccine. And I still don't know for sure that the vaccine wouldn't be helpful. A virus is a virus. It affects the same. I mean, it's affecting the virus some way, so I don't see why it wouldn't be helpful in the prevention of spread of disease in males.
In males, but they only want to target girls. Males do get, actually, I do know that males get genital warts.
Sure, it's the same thing. And I grant you that it only prevents certain conditions in the woman, but that doesn't mean it won't affect the spread of the condition if males do not get the vaccine. And it doesn't really matter. It's not going to work. People are going to say, my kid doesn't do that, or I can't afford it. The whole thing is not as...
Or if you're a Christian Scientist, you're going to say, we don't do that in our religion.
Sure.
Okay, Richard, I thank you so much for enlightening us. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Marina in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marina.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm the mother of a 3-year-old girl, and I am not a Christian Scientist, but I have chosen not to vaccinate her against anything, which I know is a very controversial decision. But I have a lot of concerns about vaccinations. It's about the corporate profit that goes into it, mistrust of the... What else is inside those? I mean, there's a whole length.
Why are you not vaccinating your child against anything?
Because I believe, and I actually will revisit it once she gets a little older. I wanted to allow her immune system to develop a little further, but I'm really concerned about all of the additives that are inside all of these immunizations. Immunizations include things like Tamiflu, which
right. Tamiflu is they think some people feel that there's a connection with autism.
Right, and Robert Kennedy has done an exhaustive study on it that was really interesting and really comprehensive, called Deadly Immunity, which anybody can look up and read. That has some really alarming things about the whitewash and the cover-up of that information that went into it. Corporations stand to profit greatly from this, and that absolutely makes me question what's going on. There's other things besides the Tamiflu. There's formaldehyde and aluminum that's inside as preservatives for immunizations. I'm so uncomfortable with anyone telling me I have to put that inside my child's body. I want to know more about it.
All right, so when your child gets to be in the sixth grade, are you in favor of being required?
Absolutely
the state
not.
Requires
I'm
you
not
to immunize?
I'm required to do that now. I mean, we live a healthy lifestyle. Her immune system is so healthy from what we eat and from not eating fast food and from not sitting in front of a television. I trust her body's ability to fight things off.
And what would the vaccinations immunize her against when you have them in childhood?
The ones that we're not doing right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, the ones that you're not doing. What do they...
Well, and there's one, there's a DTaP, which is a diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, and they're combining these all now, and nobody's tested what it means to give a child's body three combined immunizations at once and what that does to an immune system's ability to fight things off. These are diseases that are, for the most part, not bloodborne, but we're injecting them into their bloodstreams. And there's a lot of question about how effective that is and effectiveness of vaccines in general. And, you know, vaccinations were developed and came of age at a time when other things became widely used, like sanitation and running water systems, and those were all credited, the decline of disease is all credited with immunizations, when in fact other things were happening simultaneously in society that were hugely contributing to the disease decline as well, like people learning to wash their hands, you know, and other public health systems that were coming into play. So, you know, it's a hard decision. We all want to do the right thing for our kids, and it's scary, and there's so much fear, and I don't want to live in fear. I want to do what's right.
Okay, so you're not going to immunize your child now, you're definitely not in favor of immunizing her in the sixth grade for genital warts that we hope she doesn't even think about wiggling around until she's a lot older than that. Marina,
I plan on having the kind of relationship with her where we can talk about that, and I know that, you know.
Well, you can plan. You can, Marina. God bless you. You can plan a lot of things. We'll see what happens. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you, Enid. Woo, traffic. And, I mean, it's going to rain, scattered showers coming on. I'm so excited. Friday. It is a fabulous Friday. Highs tomorrow, 61, though we are going to see some showers, like I said, and on through the weekend. Lows tomorrow night, 48 tonight, 37. Traffic, southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road, slowed down a little bit due to a car on the right-hand side. Champion Road at Morning Star, southbound I-5 just north of Florin Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for, the
world-famous Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Right now in Mass.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Subliminal mind, the mayor.
thing about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Hello. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
A little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Friday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. Nancy and Zach, are you live with Enid? Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Enid. Your last call really got me going.
Tell me.
I don't think of myself as that old, but I'm 54, and I know children who lived out the last few years of their sad little lives in iron lungs from polio. I know kids who got whooping cough and were sick for months. I know kids who contracted diphtheria. I was in the hospital with encephalitis in a bad case of the month. And what scares me about this whole discussion is the kind of ignorance that this young woman exhibited in refusing to immunize her child messes up the debate about whether or not HPV should be vaccinated for.
Well, let's talk about HPV. Well, what we're talking about is HPV, and we don't have a lot of time left in this hour. So, should it be required for you to be immunized against HPV before you can enter the sixth grade if you're a girl?
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Red faces on House Republicans.
A House ethics report says Republican leaders didn't violate any rules in the Mark Foley scandal, but they didn't protect teenage boys under their care either. I'm Bob Buss on Capitol Hill.
Rumsfeld speaks against a quick pullout.
There is an impatience in the United States. And in the Congress.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The House Ethics Committee today issued its report on Congressman Mark Foley's inappropriate contact with pages and the role of his fellow Republicans in sweeping it under the rug.
The Ethics Committee took no action against any Republican leader involved in the Foley mess, but found many of them, including House Speaker Dennis Hastert, knew of the warning signs, were told of the emails, and failed to act to protect the teenage pages.
Doing the right thing is the only acceptable option.
But Committee Chairman Doc Hastings said that didn't happen. Instead, there was willful ignorance, turning the other way, ignoring the dangers. One witness said he told a top Republican Foley was a ticking time bomb. The investigation says there were many reasons for the failure to act, including trying to avoid political embarrassment. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The ethics panel found that concerns about Foley's behavior were first raised more than a decade ago. Now this.
Will you be watching when the Suns make us wonder if scoring 200 is so impossible? When we see a battle at the Staples Center with no visiting team? When the Bulls prove that younger is just another word for hungrier? Will you be watching when the Spurs show us 12 men can play with one heart? Will you be watching when?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Arenas and the Wizards face Iverson and the Sixers, followed by Wade and the Heat versus Carmelo and the Nuggets. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
President Bush, continuing his consultations on Iraq, met today with the incoming and outgoing leaders of Congress. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Emerging from the meeting, soon-to-be Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said the issue of what to do next about Iraq dominated the session.
Almost every member mentioned the urgency of our working together for a new direction in Iraq.
The top Democrat in Congress complimented Mr. Bush, saying he conducted the meeting in a spirit of openness. In fact, he pledged to meet on a regular basis with congressional leaders as part of a search for common ground on Iraq and other issues. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The president's schedule next week includes meetings with State Department and Pentagon officials and a video conference with the top generals and the U.S. ambassador in Baghdad. Donald Rumsfeld, who steps down on the 18th, said his farewells to the Defense Department staff today. They've been through a lot together, including 9/11, when terrorists flew a hijacked airliner into the Pentagon. But that's not what Rumsfeld remembers as his worst day on the job.
Clearly, the worst day was Abu Ghraib, and seeing that that what went on there, and feeling so deeply sorry that happened.
Rumsfeld said the war in Iraq is not going fast enough or well enough, but he warned against a precipitous pullout, saying that would be a terrible mistake. Asked about his best day as defense secretary.
I guess my best day, I don't know, may be a week from Monday.
That's when Robert Gates takes over. A young man from Rockford, Illinois, a convert to Islam, is charged with plotting a terrorist attack at a shopping mall. Robert Grant, head of the FBI Chicago office, says 22-year-old Derek Sharif met with an undercover agent offering to trade a set of stereo speakers for a gun and four hand grenades.
He fixed on a date of December 22nd on a Friday, which he picked because it was the Friday before Christmas, and thought that would be the highest concentration of shoppers that he could kill and injure.
Sharif had been under surveillance since September. Authorities say he acted alone. There's no evidence of a larger terrorist plot, and Sharif never got hold of any weapons. This afternoon in Chicago, there was a shooting on the top floor of the 38-story Citigroup Center. Authorities say a man armed with a snub-nosed revolver, a knife, and a hammer shot and wounded four people and then died either from police gunfire or by taking his own life. It's not clear. Three of the victims are hospitalized in critical condition. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Well, here I am. I'm not exactly St. Nicholas, but Santa has come in a different guise. Enid Live, 4:05, 5 minutes after 4 o'clock. It is the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, one of our good conversations in progress. And I really, the conversations are always so much better when more of you participate. So let me give you the numbers. It doesn't cost you a penny to call. If you're in the 916 area code, it's 349-1320. And if you're not, or if you're not sure, or if you're calling from Mars, or if you think you might be on Mars, 866-626-1320. And no matter where you are, we stream live, and you can listen, 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, enid@kctc.com. And what I like to think, and I'm sure I'm delusional on this point, is that Enid Live is better than a crossword puzzle for engaging your mind. You know how everybody says you've got to do crossword puzzles or you come down with early dementia, early Alzheimer's. How can we tell the difference? Remember now, there are researchers that tell us that cats get Alzheimer's. I mean, how would they know? Oh, all right, I know. They do the autopsies. Here's what we've been talking about, and I want to add to the conversation.
We began with John Doolittle. It's being reported in the Sacramento Bee. You'll see it in the paper tomorrow. Has paid another $44,000 to lawyers. And if you will recall, he very nearly was unseated by our guy, Charlie Brown. And maybe he will still be. Because he's paid $44,000 to a prominent Washington, D.C. law firm that specializes in cases involving campaign finance and ethics matters. And that was only for about a month's worth of work. So I think that the debt was incurred between mid-October and mid-November. So for 1 month's worth of work, let's just assume the law firm gets about $440 an hour. It's 1,000 hours of work for 1 month. Oh, my goodness. Those of you who are attorneys, you tell me what this indicates. And this is on top of $50,000 that he's already spent on legal fees to criminal defense attorneys. So almost $100,000 to attorneys. And guess what? We don't know what he's paid between November and December. And this he knew was going on as he was running for re-election. Not that he ran very much. He sort of loped. He loped in that tubby swagger that he's got. He loped for re-election. He barely appeared anywhere except for when Dickie and Mrs. Dickie were in town, and that's about it. We're also talking about a bill that is up for consideration in the legislature, or will be, as to whether or not to make it mandatory for sixth grade girls to get a shot that will immunize them against HPV, the human papillomavirus. It would be, in a condition of entering the sixth grade. And it is the first time that it would create the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender, and that would be girls. Now, I don't know if boys can be immunized in this way. One of you, I said, how about little condoms for sixth grade boys, and one of you called in to say that condoms don't work when it comes to HPV. So those of you who are healthcare providers, why don't you enlighten us? Somebody else called up to say, look, we require polio shots. Do we still? But we once did. But polio is spread in a different way. You don't get HPV unless you have genital contact. So the question is, not that this wouldn't be a good thing to do, but the question is, should the state mandate that you do it? And even if you mandate that it's done, there are people who will say, look, our religion prevents us from taking any kind of medicine. Maybe a Christian scientist might say that. Other people might want to opt out for other reasons. You heard one of our listeners calling in to say she's not immunizing her 3-year-old because there's Tamiflu. There are other agents in with the medicines that would immunize you, the drugs that would immunize you, and those have been accused of having some link. Tamiflu's had some, people have accused it of having some link to autism. I don't know that that's been proven, but in any event. So this is the range of opinion that we've had. Some people think it's absolutely necessary. I think requiring the immunization is what I'm having a problem with. Not that it isn't a good thing to do. Maybe it would be a good thing to do. What do you do if you don't have insurance? Is the state going to make these shots available at no cost to people who have no insurance? Make it available at no cost to everybody or low cost? I mean, how would this happen? 349-1320. And more important, polio, I am told now, is recommended but not required. Is it a good idea to require this of a sixth grade girl? We are hoping she's not having sexual activity in the sixth grade. And we know it's a public health issue. My problem isn't with being immunized. My problem is that the state would require being immunized or else you couldn't go into the sixth grade. That's my problem with it. And I wonder what your thoughts are about it. And I want to add to the conversation, if we're talking about wiggling genitalia, or frisky genitalia, well, here it is. Vanity Fair has delivered their takeout on the Mark Foley scandal. Or PageGate, if you prefer, and it's chock full of satisfyingly sordid details. One figure in particular gets a drubbing, the outgoing House Speaker Dennis Hastert. Here's Hastert standing dumbly by when Kirk Fordham, who I think is gay, and was Foley's former chief of staff, and then Representative Tom Reynolds' chief of staff, brings word of the coming calamity that ABC News has copies of sexually explicit instant messages sent by Foley to underage pages. Fordham thought he had made it clear that his old boss needed to quit, but Foley could not bring himself to do that. The NRCC headquarters was around the corner, the Republicans around the corner, and Fordham made it his next stop. There he found Representative Reynolds and Speaker Hastert. But before he could finish relaying the awful news, Reynolds' face got purple and he began to shout, "He needs to resign and he needs to do it right now." The Speaker just sat there, silent, according to Fordham. He didn't react at all. This was weeks before the election, and they're thinking, how is this going to impact us? And here's Hastert trying to attempt damage control. Hastert, believing that the leadership needed to present a unified front, as one by one his colleagues were repudiating his foggy recollection, called a Republican leadership meeting. That same day, an ethics committee investigation was pressed for by Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi over the objections of those who wanted an independent counsel. Its purpose, to discover who knew what and when about Foley and so on. Reynolds balked at having such a meeting. This is stupid. We can't go and all meet privately and try to get our story straight because this matter was just referred to the Ethics Committee. But, you know, the Ethics Committee, now that it has gone to the Ethics Committee, if you're no longer a member of Congress, then guess what? The Ethics, it doesn't matter about the Ethics Committee. Well, here's the latest. House Republicans leaders failed to adequately investigate former Representative Mark Foley's interest in congressional pages, according to a report by the House Ethics Committee that has been released this afternoon, hours before members of Congress left town for the year, hightailed it out of town. In all, a pattern of conduct was exhibited among many individuals to remain willfully ignorant of the potential consequences of former Representative Foley's conduct, the report concluded. The failure is not merely the exercise of poor judgment. It is a present danger to House pages and to the integrity of the institution of the House. Neither House Speaker Dennis Hastert nor other senior Republicans broke any rules, the committee concluded. The panel also did not identify a systematic cover-up, as some charged in the aftermath of revelations 2.5 months ago, that Foley had been sending sexually explicit emails and IMs to the teenage pages who work in the Capitol. Foley, a powerful Florida Republican who was running for his seventh term, resigned September 29 after reports about his electronic communications became public. His seat was captured by a Democrat in the election. Though harsh, the conclusion of the bipartisan Ethics Committee marks something of an exculpation of Dennis Hastert, whose failure to look into Foley became a powerful symbol of the GOP's problems on the eve of this year's congressional elections. Hastert has always denied that he and his staff were involved in a cover-up. The report came too late to save Republicans who were swept from the majority last month amid a string of ethical scandals that led to the resignations of four GOP congressmen, including Foley. And it gets even more intriguing. According to the investigation of allegations related to improper conduct and members and current or former House pages, the Page Report, Congressman Jim Colby, Republican of Arizona, received and tried to suppress sexually explicit communications in October of 2001 sent by Mark Foley to a House page that Colby had sponsored the previous semester. That communication, the former page told the authors of the report, involved Foley making reference to the size of his penis. Now, I don't know whose penis was being made reference to, the pages or Foley's, but he was doing it. But either way, highly inappropriate. It was happening via IM, instant messaging. The former page contends that he affixed the IM conversation to an email he sent to Colby, asking Colby to, quote, take care of it. Soon thereafter, the former page received an email from Foley apologizing for, quote, making him feel uncomfortable. But later in the report, Colby denies that he knew the precise nature of the inappropriate communication. The page, however, said that he had an email from Congressman Foley. Colby knew all about it, and when he was asked about this by the committee, he said he couldn't recall whether the page had contacted him or whether the page had contacted her assistant, or was it by phone or was it by email. And what's more, he said he never knew the specifics of the young man's allegation against Foley and, quote, did not attempt to speculate. There's a phrase that I'm sure many of you have heard called deniability. So this is when you don't want to know, and you've made yourself willfully ignorant, so that if there's an investigation like this, you can always say, you know what, I didn't know. I just didn't know. And I would recommend to you the Vanity Fair piece, which I think you can download online. Try vanityfair.com and see if it takes you there. But this is a really juicy piece about Mark Foley. And here's the way it begins. Everyone knew Mark Foley was gay. Everyone. And everyone who had a stake in his success, party, press, parents, staff, supporters, and pages, conspired for their own purposes to keep the closet half closed. And then they go and they talk about his background. The half-open closet in which Mark Foley spent his life was a recipe for disaster, say those few who tried to intervene. Investigating Foley's preteen seduction by a priest, the ladies' man mask he wore in Palm Beach society, and his love-hate relationship with the gay community, the authors of this piece, Gail Sheehy and Judy Bachrach, uncover the ambition, delusion, and hypocrisy that corroded both the politician and his party. So let me start with the sentence again. Everyone knew Mark Foley was gay. Everyone. And everyone who had a stake in his success conspired for their own purposes to keep the closet half closed. So everybody, I'm sure, in Washington knew that Mark Foley was gay. Everybody who came in contact with him. And it didn't matter that he was charged with trying to protect underage kids, and that at the same time he was sending highly inappropriate IMs to these pages. It didn't matter at all. What really mattered was the party in power, that it retained power. They knew what Foley was up to. They had all heard, they all knew he was gay. They'd known that for a long time. And they knew about some of this other raunchy stuff that was emerging, and they didn't want to know about it. What are your thoughts about Foley? What are your thoughts about this report? What are your thoughts about Hastert, who's now getting a really wonderful office courtesy of Nancy Pelosi? She's giving him one of the desirable offices, when I don't think that the Republicans would have done that for any of the Democrats. What are your thoughts about deniability here? Willful ignorance in matters like this. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We're going to see lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow, 61. Those scattered showers on through the weekend. We have a hit and run in Elkhorn Boulevard at Willerda. South on Cap City Freeway, just north of El Camino, there's a spin out. Is it raining right now? I need to run outside there and check it out. Spinning out on what? There might be horse trotty trot over there. I never knew. In North Sac, eastbound, that is just west of Trexville and eastbound 50. Just east of Zinfandel, all two car crashes. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If you have your own personal Internet, then it's you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
since we got sure.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Yours till 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AIM 1320, Sacramento's AM. I'm contracting things. AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We are adding to the conversation with the Mark Foley story, in which everybody investigating Mark Foley just exhibited willful ignorance. What he did was immoral but not illegal. Everybody has known he was gay. And you know the thought that comes to me? The Republicans are as negligent in protecting pages against people like Mark Foley as they are in protecting the rest of this country against terrorism. I mean, they call themselves the grown-ups. They were always going to be on patrol to keep America strong, vigilant, to keep America, family values, to keep America strong. And they wind up being windbags, gas bags, hypocrites. Everybody knew Mark Foley was gay. More than that, there were high-level gay staffers in a lot of Republican offices. And yet, this was a party that wanted to go after gay marriage, that wanted to turn gays into piñatas. about us that let Foley do it, and they knew exactly what Foley was up to. It was never a secret about Foley. Everybody knew he was gay, and everybody knew he was into that he had a kinky thing for younger guys. They knew that. And now he's exonerated, or not exactly exonerated, but they've exonerated themselves. So here, Republicans supposed to protect our values, as negligent in protecting Pages as they are in protecting the rest of us in terms of terrorism, in terms of security. You may want to comment about that. We're also talking about the possibility of the state of California requiring immunizations against HPV in sixth grade girls. You can't go to the sixth grade unless you have been immunized. Is that fair? And what about little boys? Could they be immunized? 349-1320-866-626-1320, or does the virus, or does the immunization not work for little boys? Michael and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
Oh, hi.
Tell me what's on your mind.
I don't know about the immunization in terms of whether it would work for boys, but I think it boys should be immunized along with girls. HPV is becoming an epidemic in this country. In 2003, there were an estimated 40 million cases, with 5 million more each year. And researchers have basically stated that HPV, everyone who is sexually active will get HPV. So it's a very serious epidemic. It seems like it's just natural to make it part of the normal immunizations that people get at a certain point in their life. And having it in the sixth grade makes sense.
But having it in the sixth grade may make sense, and I'm not denying that. But the state requiring you to have it in the sixth grade before you can enter the sixth grade is the part that I'm having a problem with. That the state mandates that you have an HPV shot that prevents HPV or prevents a lot of HPV. Is that what we want the state to be doing?
I understand. I mean,
I think you make it, what if you don't have insurance? How much does it cost? Is it expensive? Who pays for it? If you are an uninsured Californian, how do you have then what happens? What if you are somebody of a religious persuasion that doesn't believe in medicine? Then what happens?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, these are serious considerations, but I think that the epidemic itself is getting to the point where it should be just part of the normal immunization.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe, but should the state mandate it? Maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't. Anybody who's a healthcare provider, and Michael, I thank you for calling. Anybody who's a healthcare provider, I'd love for you to weigh in on it. As far as the polio virus, it enters the body apparently through the mouth, usually from hands contaminated with the stool of an infected person. Objects such as eating utensils can also spread the virus. Food and water are not thought to play a major role in the spread of polio. But polio doesn't require, for the spread of the human papillomavirus, HPV, you need genital-to-genital contact. Polio is spread, it sounds, much more widely. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. So we're talking also about the Mark Foley scandal, the fact that everybody knew Mark Foley was gay, that he was always lusting for underage boys. Whether he actually acted on it, I don't know. But the inappropriate emails should have given pause to a lot of people, and nobody wanted to look at it. Everybody knew what was going on, and nobody wanted to protect these pages, even though they paid a lot of lip service to protecting pages. I want to add to the conversation, too. When the Iraq Study Group came out with its report, I talked to you about how I was listening to Rush Limbaugh driving into the station, and he was calling it the Iraq Surrender Group. And he was talking about how these are just a bunch of losers who want the country not to be strong militarily and so on. And we talked yesterday about the New York Post, the headline Surrender Monkeys. And now it's being reported that conservatives, in case we're surprised about this, but here it is, conservatives are furious over the findings of the Iraq Study Group. This is, again, you have an administration that postured, that pretended to be one thing, and now we find out how little it was of the thing it pretended to be. And the fact that it was able to convince people, to hypnotize, to enchant people, to bully people into believing it was something it wasn't. A lot of us saw through this administration, but many people are now furious, and they don't want to be confronted with the truth. So they want to burn the messenger. And here it is. Right-wing radio host, the minister of OxyContin, Rush, calls it the Iraq Surrender Group. The New York Post tabloid doctored the front page photo to be surrender monkeys. And conservative commentator William Bennett vented in volcanic fashion a hypocrite, a fat hypocrite, who wanted to be the morality czar, who anointed himself, a self-inflicted title, the morality czar, and when he had a big, huge gambling addiction, a big gambling Jones. I don't even think his wife knew how bad it was. And here's William Bennett fuming. In all my time in Washington, I have never seen such smugness, arrogance, or such insufferable moral superiority, he says. Self-congratulatory, full of itself, horrible. You know, this could be a description of him, actually. Howls of protest echoing through the right side of the political spectrum as conservatives voice dismay with the findings of and the harsh findings of the bipartisan, or as some people want to put it, nonpartisan Iraq panel. The commission's report depicts Iraq as a country sliding into chaos, saying conditions are grave and deteriorating. Even many conservatives agree with that assessment, but the report's other findings and recommendations, which declare the approach they have backed for nearly 4 years, is all but bankrupt, clearly struck a nerve with the most ardent supporters of the war. So, you've got the minister of OxyContin, who's made quite a nice living for the past 4 years, excreting Republican talking points. And now, everything that he's talked about is completely empty. It's revealed to be complete blather. It's revealed to be as bankrupt as he is. And he's got to snort and fume and make it right somehow. So how he's making it right is that this is a group put out by a bunch of losers, the Iraq Surrender Group, and they don't know anything that's going on. And in fact, it was reported in the New York Times, I think about, 7 or 8 of the members of the Iraq Study Group went to Iraq, and it was so horrible. What they saw was so hideous that they couldn't wait to get out of there in one piece. And secondly, they wanted to put out a report, an interim report, because they thought people should know immediately. It was so awful. But conservatives are really bent out of shape. They don't want to admit that they were wrong. So they have to kill the messenger. You have any thoughts about this? I mean, it's sweet to see it, but people are so delusional. They don't want, you know, they when they brush up against the truth, they want to haul the truth off to the pokey. Mika in Davis, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mika.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I just had a comment about the HPV. I'm actually a doctor, and I've just seen so many cases of HPV in smaller children, 14 years old, 15 years old, and these girls are coming out with cervical cancer, some of them. And the thing is, if we didn't live in a puritanical society that wanted to believe that their 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds weren't engaging in sexual activity, I completely agree with it not being state mandated. But until society starts to accept the fact that these girls are participating in sexual activity, a lot of them, I think it should be state mandated.
All right. What kind of a doctor are you? What's your specialty?
Actually, I'm a surgeon.
You're a surgeon.
Yes.
And does it always result in cervical cancer when you get genital? What do you have to take us through it? You get genital warts with HPV. Does it always result in cervical cancer?
No, it does not. There are actually a few different strains of HPV. This particular study chose to target the 4 strains of HPV that were most likely to cause cervical cancer. The other strains of HPV that don't cause cervical cancer, or at least are least likely, are called low-risk HPV. Those cause the general warts, and they also cause the warts that you find on your hands as well.
Okay, and so you're seeing, but as a surgeon, you're really seeing these little girls at 12 and 13 years old, or you're hearing it from your colleagues who are...
No, actually, everybody goes to medical school. Everybody has an obstetrics and gynecology rotation that you have to go through.
Right, and so you're seeing 12 and 13-year-old girls, and what do you have to do? Do you have to have actual intercourse in order to get exposed to the HPV, or do you just have to wiggle around, or what's the story? How's the transmission occur?
Usually it occurs during actual intercourse. But that's not excluding the fact that you can just have genital contact in order to transmit HPV.
So just touching, just skin touching skin can do it. But go ahead.
Skin touching skin, I mean, that's how warts are given from person to person on their hands, and it's basically just about the same thing.
Why is there such an explosion of this?
I'm not really an epidemiologist. So I can't tell you why there's such an explosion of it, but I think if you ask my personal opinion, I think it's lack of education. A lot of people don't know about HPV. They don't know until they come to the doctor and they're told that they have it.
Does is a condom a will a condom prevent you from getting HPV if you are a boy?
Well, let's see. Condoms actually, I read a few studies that were basically saying that HPV is small enough to pass through the pores of a condom. So it will decrease your likelihood of getting it. However, it doesn't eliminate it. And that's the largest problem with HPV is that they're finding more and more that it can pass through a condom.
Okay, why then won't they inoculate boys? Does it work for boys or does it not work for boys?
They haven't studied, the last time I looked at the studies, they hadn't studied it in boys. And according to our FDA and everything, you have to study it in that particular population in order to use it in that population.
What's the downside? Do they know yet what the downside of this inoculation is?
I don't know that just yet. I haven't looked at the study in a little bit. So
Mika, let's assume you get, how long before you, between contact and the onset of, all right, what can genital warts lead to? Cervical cancer, what else?
Mm-hmm. Mainly the main thing that we're concerned about is cervical cancer. It can lead to, the other things are negligible, just irritation in the area. You can have just basically like a rash sort of outbreak, but that's just about it. The thing is, from contact to actual cervical cancer, it actually takes years. The problem with HPV is that it's insidious. You'll get it, you'll never know that you had it, and then these girls will get it when they're 15, 16, 17 years old, and then they'll go to the gynecologist's office when they're 25, 30 years old, and that's when they'll find out they have cervical cancer. So it's not...
Wait a minute, you don't know that you have it when you have it?
No.
How does it express itself in a rash or wart somewhere along the line?
No, not with certain strains. So usually what happens is that it actually touches the cervix. It infects the epithelial or the cells on the cervix, and you have no idea. It hibernates in there, and it actually, the reason why it causes cancer is it actually alters the cell's DNA, and it causes cancer that way. But it's a very slow process. So that's why pap smears are so important, because when you get the pap smear, it can actually tell you whether or not the cells are starting to change into something that's going to start to look like cancer.
But does the pap smear tell you whether you have HPV?
This pap smear tells you, first of all, if you have cervical change, and then they do a secondary test. If you show any kind of abnormal cells, then they do a reflex test, and that looks for HPV.
If a boy is infected, a young boy is infected with HPV, what happens to him? If a girl could potentially contract cervical cancer, mm-hmm. What can a boy or a young man contract?
Well, usually with young men, HPV is just basically on the surface of the penis. And usually nothing happens. They just go through cycles. They're usually give it to people, but they don't actually go through anything themselves. In a small percentage of them, though, they do develop what's called Bowen's disease of the penis, and that is a cancer-like growth on the penis that has to be removed continually.
Does it do anything to your immune system? Does it compromise your immune system to have this? If you're a boy and you aren't prone to cancer, let's say in general as serious mm-hmm. as cervical cancer, is your immune system compromised in one way or another? Do they know that yet?
If you're talking about people who have HIV or people who have immune system compromise, they're more likely to develop Bowen's disease of the penis if they're infected with HPV. However, if you have a normal immune system, no. A lot of people don't even know. And most men who have Bowen's disease of the penis just show up with like an ulcer on their penis and they don't exactly know what it is.
Mika is a surgeon, and you think then this ought to be mandated. This ought to be by law. How is that going to work when people are, you know, they say they're Christian Scientists and they mm-hmm. don't want to have any kind of injections?
Mm-hmm.
They would be exempt if you had no insurance. Who's going to pay for it? I assume it's not inexpensive. I mean, how is this going to work?
It's just the way that you can get vaccinations and pediatric clinics and different things like that through the state. This should probably be a state-mandated sort of thing. If the state's saying that you have to do it, then there should be some kind of way for the state to pay for it. Just like if you have a child and you don't have enough money, you can actually get your vaccinations for free through the state. So
but what's the likelihood? If you are infected with genital warts, it's not like, is it like herpes where you have to be in some active phase to transmit it to somebody else? Can women give it to men and men can give it to women?
Yes.
Okay.
It goes both ways.
And you don't know necessarily that you even have it.
No, that's the scary thing about HPV is that it's an insidious disease. You get it. You have no idea you have it.
You don't have it. It's asymptomatic in a lot of cases.
It's completely asymptomatic in 98 in a very high percentage of women.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to, say goodbye to each other, but I just want to leave it there. But I just want to say, Mika, still mandating against, the difference between, I don't know that there's even a lot of difference between mandating and making it available, telling people, look, this is what you should do. This would be a healthy way to proceed.
I completely understand what you're saying, but I think the big difference is that a lot of parents didn't even want condoms passed out in schools. So, and vaccines only work before you get the disease. And this is just targeting women who most likely will get it. And like everybody's been saying, it's an epidemic. It's exploded. You don't know that you have it. So until parents are willing to accept the fact that my child may be sexually active and I don't know that, I think that it should be state mandated.
Mika, you made a very compelling argument for it. I thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Ina.
You're welcome. 349. Well, she's a surgeon. What do you think? Do you agree with her? 349-1320-866-620. I must be living under a rock. I think I had no idea that the disease was as huge as she and a lot of you are suggesting. But I still have a problem about the state mandating it, because you're going to mandate, you can still opt out. And if you have religious considerations and a number of other considerations, you can still opt out. And I think if people knew about it, they would, they might want to do it voluntarily. I think the problem for me is the state mandating it. Now, maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I could be talked out of this. But what an interesting disease this appears to be. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We have some scattered showers going on for the next couple of days. Lows tonight, 37. Highs coming up near 61 tomorrow. Wow! I have 4 incidences on my little sheet, and 3 of them South Sac, West Bend 50, just west of South Bend 15, and on Elk Horn Boulevard at Willega, and then 50 just east of Strawberry, which is in Placerville. I'm very proud of all of you. It's 4:45. It's a Friday, and the streets are clear. Amazing. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
How would you like to cut your mortgage?
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about lots of things. We're talking about the HPV shot that may be mandated if it passes in the legislature. Targeting sixth grade girls, you can't enter the sixth grade unless you've been immunized against the HPV, human papillomavirus. And I just got, we're talking about polio, and I just got this email from one of you, let's see, about polio, and here it is. Years ago, it was proven that nobody could catch polio in a pool. The chlorine killed it. Lack of information can be deadly. I don't know. I guess I used to hear that you could catch it from swimming, and isn't Franklin Roosevelt get it that way? But I guess not. Okay, I'm not practicing medicine, as you can see, without a license. What troubles me about the vaccine for HPV is not that it isn't a good thing to do, but that the state would mandate it. I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope. And 349-1320, 866-26-1320. It apparently hasn't been studied as much in little boys as in little girls, which is interesting. So the little girls, it's the first time that in California's history that only one sex is required to be immunized. Well, what if you're transgender? Oh, never mind. 349-1320. What if you've had gender reassignment? Kristen, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kristen.
Hi there. Thanks for taking me, Enid. I love your show.
Thank you.
I think that if HPV were spread in any manner other than as a sexually transmitted disease, then there'd be just no question of a state mandate on a potential eradication of it. I think there's just, it's too caught up in the stigma of sex, particularly premarital and young girls having sex, that this throws off people's rational judgment against a state mandate against a, you know, potentially fatal disease.
For me, the sexual transmission part of it is not of great interest. It's the fact that the state is mandating it. That's what interests me.
But
here,
why shouldn't the state mandate it? Why should people have a choice?
Well, maybe the state should. Is it a public health issue if you smoke? Should the state mandate that you shouldn't smoke? And would it work?
But if you,
I mean, argument.
Well,
that,
I mean, I suppose. Yeah, to some degree, that is.
Is it a public health issue when people are obese? So should the state outlaw?
We do have state mandates. We do have state mandates exactly for the reason that smoking is harmful to others. So you can't smoke in public. You can't smoke at a public place where it's potentially harmful to others. And we can argue about whether or not it's harmful outside. But that was a state mandate because people did recognize that it was harmful to others in public places. it's no longer legal to smoke in public.
But we have a lot of health issues that claim lots of lives. I'm not trying to minimize this in any way, but when the state starts immunizing, requiring an immunization for one, what's to stop it from requiring an immunization from all? And then there are all kinds of exceptions, so not everybody's going to be immunized here.
Well, I'm curious as to what those exceptions are. What other disease is spreading so rapidly?
Well, California law. Kristen, California law gives parents the right to veto any vaccine for their child by filing a letter with school officials stating their participation would violate their beliefs. A lot of people could opt out from this.
I absolutely agree. I agree with you that that is a, you know, the kind of loophole that should actually be closed.
Oh, I don't. You think that loophole should be closed? I don't know. I don't know about that.
When it comes to public health.
When it comes to public health, let's not sell cigarettes at all. Then, when it comes to public health, it's a very big hole to drive a very big vehicle through. I think you get into some trouble with
there
that. But is there not when it comes to being vaccinated against HPV? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Not if that law passes. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you. Well, a couple of things are going on. Westbound 50 just west of southbound 15th Street. We have a vehicle over the fog line on the right-hand side. Eastbound 50 at Hazel Avenue, a two-car crash. And 50 at Strawberry. Otherwise, looking pretty good. Tonight, lows 33. Highs coming up tomorrow, 61. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid. Call her now at 349-1320.
This is News 10.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com. You're on your way to a better day.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Jingle bells, jingle bells rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snow is in the blowing, the bushes are blowing. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bells chime. Dancing and prancing, jingle bells away. In
4:55 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320. And we're talking about it. I mean, a lot of you are getting mad at me, and maybe I'm not right about this. I think I have a problem about the state mandating. When there's so many public health issues, why pick one? And to girls, it would be the first time in the state's history, it would be the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender. Not that I don't think that this is a good idea to, if I had a daughter, or if I were in the sixth grade, maybe this would be a good thing to be to be immunized against. I'm not arguing that part of it. The part I'm arguing is whether the state should require it. There are lots of other public health issues. Is it a slippery slope? 3491320, and some of you calling in who are physicians saying you're seeing HPV transmission in 12-year-olds and so on. Arlene and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Arlene.
Oh, hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
So, well, basically, I think that, you know, it shouldn't be state mandated. I think it's a free country, and anybody should opt out or opt in for having the vaccine done or not. I think just like immunization with hepatitis B, et cetera, and all the, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, and all those tests for our little children, I think parents can pick and choose what they want. However, I think there is a deeper problem, and the deeper problem I see, I think the education for having sex early versus not is the biggest problem, because if we try to prevent that, children having sex at the younger age, I think that could actually decrease on its own the risk of transmission for HPV virus.
Oh, well, Arlene, good for, you know, God bless you. What would it take for that to happen? I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Mike. And Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well. What do you think about the inoculating these kids as a mandate, as a state mandate?
Well, I'm not sure about whether or not it should be a mandate.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was just weeks before the election that Congressman Mark Foley resigned in disgrace, and House Republican leaders were accused of looking the other way when they learned of his inappropriate contacts with teenage pages. Today, the House Ethics Committee issued its findings, and they're an embarrassment to the outgoing leadership team.
The 100-page report says Republican leaders from House Speaker Dennis Hastert on down were negligent in not properly looking out for the interests of the high school pages, but found none of them violated any House rules. The committee says that Hastert, Majority Leader John Boehner, and others knew about the suggestive emails Foley sent to former pages, but not the sexually explicit and lurid instant messages he sent some of the teenage boys. The report suggests a variety of reasons they and others didn't pursue this further, including politics and a desire to make sure no one found out Foley was gay. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush is trying to set a new bipartisan course in Iraq. He met today with Republican congressional leaders and the Democrats who will soon replace them, and he promised regular consultations in the future. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld steps down a week from Monday. Today, in his farewell to the Pentagon staff, he acknowledged that things are not going well in Iraq, but warned against a quick withdrawal.
To pull out precipitously and inject that instability into the situation there in that country and in that region, I believe, would be a terrible mistake.
Rumsfeld said his worst day on the job was when the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse scandal was exposed. Three people are dead after a shooting this afternoon in a Chicago high-rise office building.
He began to focus on
It's scary. It's hard to believe in a building that a gun, in this day and age, is working in a school. You don't bring in guns. There's so many community buildings, and yet in a public workplace, a gun gets through.
Judy Truckenbrod was in the Citigroup Center when a man with a snub-nosed revolver went to the top floor and shot four people before police intervened. The gunman is dead along with two of his victims. No word yet on a motive. The FBI in Chicago announced charges today against a 22-year-old man, Derek Sharif, an American convert to Islam who allegedly planned to set off hand grenades at a shopping mall on the Friday before Christmas.
He began to focus on obtaining weapons, began to prepare himself through a purification process. He began to prepare videos in the event he did not survive the attack.
Robert Grant of the FBI says Sharif acted alone and never did obtain any weapons. He was arrested after he met an undercover agent and offered to trade a set of stereo speakers for a gun and four grenades. In Auburn, Washington, this afternoon, police stopped an SUV near a mall and found grenades, guns, and ammunition. The investigation is underway right now. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials up 29 points to finish the week at 12,307. The NASDAQ gained nearly 10 points to close at 2437. This is CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
A panel of experts advising the Food and Drug Administration has been struggling with questions about heart stents coated with anti-clotting medication. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has more.
Rick Doolin has three drug-coated stents inside of him. He saw all the alarming reports about them being some sort of ticking time bomb.
And experienced a fear like none other that I have had in my life.
An FDA panel here can't help him much. While it finds these stents raise risks of blood clots, heart attacks, and death when used in unapproved ways, it says that's also true for older metal stents, and the safety data are incomplete. So it's recommending that patients simply be advised of the higher risks. How will that affect panel member Dr. Christopher White, a New Orleans cardiologist?
I haven't heard anything today that's going to change my practice on Monday morning.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
The experts say the increased risk might come from unapproved uses of the coated stents or might be due to their use in high-risk patients. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
8:05, 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We have been talking about a lot of things. And if you are just joining us from having been incarcerated in your office all day long, let me tell you where we have been so far. And we're going to add to the conversation. And the more of you who call, the richer the conversation gets. I think that Enid Live, and of course I'm biased here, is better than a crossword puzzle for engaging your mind. That's what I think. And everybody's saying, oh, do crossword puzzles and you won't get Alzheimer's. You won't get dementia. Now they're saying it's not the crossword puzzles. Get exercise, and then you'll be healthier, and you'll live to bedevil all of your enemies. You'll watch them drop dead, and you won't make your beneficiaries happy. 349-1320 is the number, or 866-626-1320. And we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. So you don't want to be out in the cold while you're working. You can be pretending to work. Or we are a fine accompaniment as you are working if your blood pressure doesn't get boiled over by some of the things we discuss. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. Here's where we started today. And I'll tell you where we are. And then I want to add a bunch of stuff as well. And it's your choice, because Fabulous Fridays are more of a flea market of ideas than most of the other days, although maybe it's hard to measure. John T. Deep Doolittle, we haven't heard from him lately, and we haven't heard about him lately, but you'll see it in the paper tomorrow on the B, has revealed that he has paid another $44,000 to lawyers, covering only a one-month period, from mid-October to mid-November, exactly in the run-up to the election. He was paying $44,000 in legal fees for 1 month's worth of work to a prominent Washington, D.C. law firm that specializes in cases involving campaign finance and ethics matters. This is on top of the $50,000 he has already paid to another law firm specializing in criminal defense activities and criminal defense matters. So he has spent almost $100,000 on attorneys, and I would say if he was paying $44,000 to a law firm mid-October to mid-November, I would guess, I have no knowledge, I wonder what you think, but it looks to me like it's heating up for him. And not a moment too soon, but think about it. At let's say $440 an hour, it's 1,000 hours of lawyering for 1 month. Now, those of you who are attorneys, I would love to hear your take on this. Those of you who have been involved in ethics or specialists in ethics and campaign finance issues, love to hear what you have to say about this. Almost $100,000 in less than a year, just in a few months, he's racked up almost $100,000 in legal bills. And whether he's able to use campaign monies to pay off these bills, I don't know. It may be that he is able to do that. So those of you who specialize in that sort of stuff, we'd love your information on it. We are also have been talking about a bill that will make its way. This is Assemblywoman, she's a Democrat, Sally Lieber's measure, AB 16. It would require girls to be vaccinated against HPV, human papilloma virus, as a condition of entering the sixth grade in public or private schools. And this would occur after July 1, 2008, because according to many of you calling, we have what sounds like almost a pandemic. I'm not sure that's the right way to describe it, but certainly a huge number of these cases. It is thought that that HPV could lead to cervical cancer. What is the likelihood? What are the percentages that it might lead to cervical cancer? 349-1320, anybody who's a physician, I'd like to know about it. There is a product recently approved by the federal government. It targets four strains of HPV that cause 70% of cervical cancer and about 90% of genital warts. And there's only one company that makes this stuff, so this is going to be a bonanza for that one company. I have a problem not with do you want to immunize your kid, but the state mandating, and it would be the first time. This would create the state's only immunization requirement targeting a single gender, and that would be girls. We have been talking about that. Also talking about the report on Foley that really pretty much pleads willful ignorance on the subject. When everybody, Vanity Fair has just done a really juicy piece on Foley. Everybody knew that he was gay. They've known he's gay forever. They knew it in Washington. Everybody knew, and this is a piece by Gail Sheehy and Judy Bachrach in the January 2007 issue of Vanity Fair. You can download it. Everybody knew Mark Foley was gay, is the way it begins. Everyone. And everyone who had a stake in his success, party, press, parents, staff, supporters, and pages, conspired for their own purposes to keep the closet half closed. Well, Representative Colby from Arizona
Apparently, he instructed, let me see if I can find this now. He instructed, he got a letter from a page. According to the investigation, the investigation of Mark Foley, there was a page who contacted Colby O in about 1991, saying that Foley was making reference to the size of his penis, and I'm not clear whether it was the page's penis or Foley's penis, but in any event, so Colby knew about it quite in advance, and he didn't do a whole lot. I think he told the page to shut up about it, is where that came out. So it occurs to me that the Republicans are as incapable or as negligent in protecting pages as they have been in protecting the rest of us from terrorism, from incompetence, from everything else that this administration has foisted on us. And there's a lot of information around. First of all, the conservatives are furious at the Iraq Study Group, or as the Minister of OxyContin is referring to it, the Iraq Surrender Group. Howls of protest all over the place because these people wanted to believe that going into Iraq was absolutely the most wonderful thing in the world, and now they find out that the whole thing was it's completely falling apart. The whole thing is grave and deteriorating and horrible. And they didn't want to know about that. They don't want to hear anything about that at all, so they've got to kill the messenger is what's going on there. And here's Paul Krugman's column. It's called They Told You So. And he's talking about all the people who, before we went into Iraq, and I just got an email from one of my listeners in Denver, because I remember very well the night that we went into Iraq when you saw it on CNN. And I'll tell you what was going on in Denver. It was the worst snowstorm they'd had in about a million years. It was so bad. The snow was higher than my waist. And what you need to know about Denver is the altitude is, it's at 5,200 feet. If there is snow, it melts very quickly. And it has more sunny days. Most people aren't aware of this than like 300 sunny days a year. But there was snow higher than your waist. It was a huge blizzard. And so bad that what the radio station did is they got us hotel rooms so that, because you couldn't drive anywhere, and nobody could drive in and nobody could drive out. It happened that I didn't have to stay in one of those because I could walk to work. I had a great loft and I just walked to work, which was nice, or plowed myself through the snow, as it turned out. But in any event, so we ate in the hotel dining room. I joined my colleagues in the hotel dining room for dinner. And by the second night, because no trucks could come in and out to deliver food at the hotel dining room, there were like four things on the hotel buffet, none of which went with each other, but it was at least food. But there was a TV set in the dining room, and we could watch. We were monitoring CNN, and when we saw that the war had started, we rushed back to the radio station and went live. And it was in the evening, maybe it was about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and we just went, and we kept going. It was radio that was immediate, and my heart was broken. Because, in the days running up, I knew that everything would be different. I just knew it. I inveighed against it. At that time, Denver Talk Radio was completely red. It was completely conservative. We were a new radio station, and we were building listeners one by one by one. Now, Colorado has gone blue. In the last election, I think, and there is a very viable Air America station that sort of piggybacked off of what we had done. But nobody wanted to believe it, and the conservative listeners were just furious with me. And remember now, the Dixie Chicks said something completely innocuous, and their career was practically cashiered, practically Dixie Chicked. It became a verb. To Dixie Chick someone. Well, there were a lot of people who knew that this was the wrong thing to do. It wasn't just me. But I just got an email from one of my Denver listeners saying, you were right about Iraq. Well, I wasn't the only one that was right. Here's Paul Krugman's column today in the New York Times. You'll see it tomorrow in the Bee. Representative Ike Skelton in September of 2002. I have no doubt that our military would decisively defeat Iraq's forces and remove Saddam. But like the proverbial dog chasing the car down the road, we must consider what we would do after we caught it. Al Gore in September of 2002 said, I am deeply concerned that the course of action that we are presently embarking upon with respect to Iraq has the potential to seriously damage our ability to win the war against terrorism and to weaken our ability to lead the world in this new century. Barack Obama, don't vote for Mama, vote Obama. Well, is Mama Hillary? Barack Obama said in September of 2002, I don't oppose all wars. What I am opposed to is a dumb war. What I am opposed to is a rash war. What I am opposed to is the cynical attempt by Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and other armchair weekend warriors in this administration to shove their own ideological agendas down our throats, irrespective of the costs in lives lost and in hardships borne. Nancy Pelosi said, in October of 2002, when we go in, the occupation, which is now being called the liberation, could be interminable, and the amount of money it costs could be unlimited. Howard Dean, then a candidate for president and now chairman of the DNC, said in February of 2003, and I think, didn't we go in March? I firmly believe that the president is focusing our diplomats, our military, our intelligence agencies, and even our people on the wrong war at the wrong time. So, 349-1320-866-626-1320. Let's head over to Auburn and Stan. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I like to call myself a Reagan conservative, and these people that are in the White House now, including Rush Limbaugh and Bob Bennett, Bill Bennett, they're not conservatives. I don't know what they are. They don't speak for me. They never have spoken for me. President Bush is not a conservative. I knew that. The first piece of legislation that they created was the No Child Left Behind. As soon as they created that, I knew that he was nowhere close to being a conservative. So please don't lump all the conservatives in with Rush. I don't listen to him. I don't care what he does. He doesn't speak for me ever. I speak for myself in the ballot box. So,
well, I'm telling you, conservatives are going crazy over the Iraq study group's findings. But first of all, they slam Bush against the wall. They make him look even dumber. And there's some new polling out. Americans see no easy exit from Iraq. Just 9% expect the war to end in clear-cut victory, compared with 87% expecting some sort of compromise settlement. This is according to the latest Ipsos AP poll.
Well, you were saying that those people are conservatives. I'm saying that they're not true conservatives, not even close. So they can go crazy. These Christian people on the right can go crazy, whatever they want to. They don't speak for me. They're not really conservatives.
Well, a lot of them, you know, just like Rush calls his listeners conservatives, a lot of them are just nasty. And conservative is a very socially correct label for what they really are.
Well, I don't know about that, Enid. I don't know that.
It's a finer label than just simply being nasty, uninformed, and with an IQ that doesn't even hover at room temperature.
Well, I don't think that you can say that. That's your opinion. I don't think they'll ever do the damage that's been done to this country by the progressive people in this country.
By the progressive people? What have we done? What have we done to this country that is worse than what this president has done in just a few short years? Stan, tell me.
They've pretty much taken poor people and created them into a permanent, I don't want them, stepchild or whatever. They just continually drag them down. They've never given them a chance to get up and use their internal, their God-given abilities to improve their lives. And so they just...
Wait a minute. You are telling me, Stan, God bless you, you are telling me that the progressives have injured this country way more than this administration has? This administration has put us in historic deficits. This administration has practically bankrupted the country, not only in terms of money, but in terms of morality. You are looking at lives lost. You are looking at a war built on lies.
Yeah.
You are looking at what we had, all this tremendous goodwill around the world, and now that has been bankrupted. We don't have any moral authority. We have made a huge mess in the Middle East, so bad that a number of people in the Iraq study group were horrified at what they saw there. And you're telling me that the progressives have injured this country more than this administration has?
Well, Enid, you know, all you have to do is look at the Great Society programs. They will cost more money than all of the Iraq's in the world 10 times over. So, and they don't achieve.
Well, I think people will want to run to respond to you, Stan. You're talking about the Great Society social programs. Is that what you're talking about? You're stuck in Lyndon Johnson's administration. Where have you been for the last 500 years?
Hit it right on the head. Those programs will have caused more destruction of personal lives, particularly in the black folks in the United States, than anything else that we could have ever done to them. If we had taken them out and shot them, we'd have done a better favor to them. So.
Oh, you think so? Let's see how people respond, Stan. I thank you for the call. Are you going to? Stan says if we had taken the underclass out and shot it, he thinks that we have really hurt black people by any Great Society programs that we might have had, which were quite a while ago. When was Lyndon Johnson in office? I want to say in the 60s, 70s, something like that. Well, when was John Kennedy? John Kennedy was assassinated in about 62, so those were the Lyndon Johnson years right after that. 349, 1320, and this administration, I guess everybody thinks they've done just a fabulous job. What a wonderful job this administration has done. Well, let me share with you. A turning point for the panel. Four harrowing days in Iraq. For some member, the turning point for some members of the Iraq study group came during the 4 days in September when they visited. They found the trip so harrowing, they said, that they wondered if they could afford to wait to speak out about the disaster that they saw in Iraq. And listen to how they had to come into Iraq. Like other visitors, this is how you have to go to Iraq. This is what we have become. This is a metaphor for us, too. Like other, remember Francis Coppola's film Apocalypse Now? Like other visitors, they arrived on a C-130 transport that performed a plunging corkscrew maneuver to avoid insurgent fire while landing at Baghdad's airport. Then they were bundled into flak jackets and helmets and rushed on to attack helicopters for the five-minute flight to the Green Zone, the military-controlled neighborhood that is sealed off from the city. There, they were placed in a fleet of armored Humvees, each with a medic seated in the back to offer first aid in the event of a rocket attack. The roar of the Humvee's engine could not mask the sound of explosions from car bombs outside the Green Zone. The security measures had been routine for most of the American occupation, but they were still jarring to these first-time visitors to the war zone, who were so unnerved by what they saw that they thought that they couldn't wait until the report was due. They wanted to tell the American people immediately and issue an interim report. Frank in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, Enid, I just had a quick comment about something your last caller said about the Great Society. But before I said that, I can't believe what I heard you say. You said that Johnson was president in the 70s?
60s. I corrected myself.
But you said, you have a tendency to call people retarded, but then you, I mean, come on, you were alive in the 60s and 70s. You should know.
I don't know if I was. That Johnson was president right after 65 to 69. Johnson was president right after Kennedy was assassinated. So what's your point, Frank?
Johnson was president from 63 to 68. He didn't run for re-election in 68 after the Vietnam War.
Okay, so, all right, so I'm off slightly.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, so what's your point?
Well, I had 2 points. First of all, you know, the guy who called before, his criticism of the Great Society is actually
If you were listening to me, I corrected myself. I said he, if Kennedy was assassinated in 62, Johnson took over, so.
No, fine, but my point is that, his sort of thought that, that the Great Society was a bad idea is actually a legitimate philosophical disagreement with the nature, with what a person feels the nature of government should be. I mean, it's not really something...
What he said, Frank, was that the progressives have ruined the country more than this administration, essentially. That they have done more harm to this country. So the progressives, whom we can thank for Social Security, whom we can thank for bringing electricity, the Tennessee Valley Authority, we can thank the progressives and the Democrats for a lot of the most wonderful programs, Medicare, for example, the Civil Rights Movement.
No, well, first of all, once again,
Frank, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight near 33. We're going to see highs tomorrow around 61. Our traffic, it looks like we've got a car crash over there at Howe Avenue and Hurley Way. Westbound 50 to south of River Road, there's a disabled vehicle. And northbound I-5 to south of J Street, there's a vehicle on the right-hand side. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty. Even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
To choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
morning on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live as we escape into the arms of the weekend and the holiday run-up. And I am yours until 7-349-1320, 866-626-1320. Frank is mad at me because I was slightly off on my years for Lyndon Johnson, and I was slightly off on the Kennedy assassination. For some reason, I thought it was 62, but it was 63. And Lyndon Johnson was president from 63 until, what, 69, something like that. So, you know, we are handling a lot of facts here. Sometimes they get a little bit they get a little bit sheared off, and that's why we rely on our Eagle Beagle listeners. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of things, and one of the things we're talking about is our caller, Stan, who calls himself a Reagan conservative. He doesn't believe that the minister of OxyContin and some of those people in the White House like Bennett are real conservatives or true conservatives, but he believes that the progressives have done more to ruin this country, and he hearkened back to Great Society programs, a permanent underclass, etc., than this crowd in the White House or in any Republicans. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Do you agree with Stan? I mean, don't forget the Democrats brought us all these great social programs that have endured. Medicare, Social Security. They brought electricity to the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority. This didn't come from Republicans. The civil rights movement was there were people in the Democratic Party kicking and screaming, but I believe that the Democrats brought you a better civil rights environment in this country. Brian in Fair Oaks, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Enid, man, wow, that was hard for me to sit through that break. I am so furious. Stan and people like him and the other guy that called, that's the exact reason why I'm so glad we have the House and Senate right now, because, first of all, trying to even compare and say anything about the previous decades of what LBJ and those guys did, that's ridiculous. Let's just look at Reagan. He wants to go with the Reagan years. He gave us Reaganomics. He gave us trickle-down economics. He gave us crack and the Iran-Contra scandal. Please.
I agree with you, Brian. Well said.
Give me a break. And then you want to go back before that? Nixon. Another scandal. And Watergate. So every time you had Republicans running stuff, they always screwed it up.
Yeah, and you know what? The Democrats have become the cleanup crew. You know, just like in the circuses behind the elephants and all the animals. They got the Thank you, Brian. Well said. And eloquent as usual. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jim in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Enid, I dare any conservative, anyone who wants to criticize the progressive philosophy to come up with a single thing that conservatives have ever done for mankind, ever. Every single advance in society has been progressive, from child labor laws to health care to Social Security. The list goes on as long as your arm. Every single thing has been a progressive notion. I dare anyone to find a single thing conservatives have ever done. What they really do is just worship personal property, and that's their God, and that's the end of the story. Their philosophy has no moral backing whatsoever.
It's a wallet philosophy. Jim, thank you. 349-1320. John in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. I am a conservative, and when I say that, I like to qualify it. I am a fiscal conservative, but I am a moral liberal. And I can see where the other two callers, the other two somewhat conservative callers, were coming from. Yes, there are good things about what the progressives have done. Perhaps they've taken things a little too far. And you're a very intelligent woman, and I strongly disagree with the way you were attacked, and I understand that you spin things to get people's goats up so that they call in, and I'm fine with that. But I'm sure as an intelligent woman, you will probably agree with me that there, two intelligent minds can see something in two different ways. And sometimes, perhaps, we might determine that something would be better or worse based on different values. You say that
what Stan was saying, without putting too fine a point on it, is that the progressives have done more damage to this country than, let's say, this administration. I don't think you have to even go, you can go back to Nixon, but this administration has stripped, so badly strip-mined this country, that I don't even know where to begin. In just a few years, look what they have done. Look how they've bankrupted things. They want to bankrupt EPA. They just want to bankrupt the society.
I have to say that I hate George W. Bush with a passion. I've never voted for the man, nor would I ever. And yes, he has screwed things up a lot. And if you want to say that he's done more damage or not, it's really hard to say. Only time will be able to tell that. And until we have some means of running.
Well, I don't think, you know, time. I mean, I think we can see it right now. John, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Mike in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Enid. Hey, I really wanted to talk about the Iraqi thing, but they've been hitting on this societal thing. And I just have a couple things to say. I think that I don't think that everything that the progressives have done, you mentioned the TVA and the equal rights. I think those are good, excellent, solid things. But I also agree that some of the things are not so good. The way that the welfare system's been run and those type of things. I think there's a mixture there of good and bad. It's not, you know, you can't take.
All right. So can you point to what this administration, for example, has done that's so wonderful?
Oh no! I was just talking about the greater, not comparing the two. I know that's what they was talking about. You know, which one's damaged more or the other.
Well,
I'm just saying that it's a. I think there's a combination. What I think Stan was trying to point was, or point out was that I think that some of, like I said, the welfare system is that really
the welfare system got cleaned up quite substantially under Bill Clinton. I have to say. I mean, and when Bill Clinton left office, he left this country with a surplus of a lot of things, a surplus of money, a surplus of goodwill, a surplus of government well run. Say what you like about Bill Clinton. He was a very good steward of the people. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A lot better with all of his flaws than this inept, petulant president, this crew that is running things right now. And Dickie is going to decide whether or not he's going to, you know, how he's going to read the Iraq Study Group report, and maybe, and you know what? He's not going to do anything. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some traffic things going on. Eastbound I-80 just west of Northgate Boulevard. We have a vehicle stopping traffic down a little bit over there on the right-hand side of the fog line. Folsom Boulevard at Northgate, we have a hit and run. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Northbound 99 just south of Sheldon Road. Eastbound 50 just west of Prairie City and Howe Avenue at Hurley. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Oh, come.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone.
Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I just came back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way. I stopped off at the North Pole to spend a holiday. I called on dear old Santa Claus to see what I could see. He took me to his workshop and told his plans to me. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh,
5:42 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. Well, Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's going to wonder whether Dickie's been bad or good. I don't think he's going to have to wonder too far about it. And they are showing footage on cable network, all the cable channels, of this magnificent Christmas tree that was right at the White House entrance, and then there is a guard there who, and the thing blows down. It just falls flat. So Keith Olbermann wonders, is this a metaphor for what's going on in the White House? What do you think? The fact that Laura goes to an event and four people altogether, four women, three plus Laura, are wearing the same $8,500 dress, what does that tell us? Well, I started to talk about it yesterday. We know we're spending when you're spending almost five figures for an outfit, you think you might want to be exclusive or you think you might be exclusive. Forget about it. I think the point of spending five figures for an outfit and everybody showing up in the same outfit is to show that they can afford to spend five figures on an outfit. So then it's a branding issue and you're all members of the same high dollar club. Maybe 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What we have been talking about, we had a caller, Stan, describing himself as a conservative Reagan Republican, a Reagan kind of conservative, and he is not happy about this administration. But at the same time, he thinks the progressives have done more harm to this country than, well, conservatives or Reagan conservatives. So, you have the Iraq study report, and here's what the New York Times is saying. Bush backs away from two key ideas of the panel on Iraq. President doesn't endorse pullback plan or talks with Iran and Syria. So, you know, maybe he'll get around to reading the Iraq study report. Maybe not. You know, he's got all those Shakespeare's that he was reading over the summer, and I'm sure that he's deep in the middle of one of them, and he hasn't got time to read the Iraq study report, let alone what its provisions would be. And as I said to you earlier, some of the people who went to Iraq, part of the Iraq study group, they were horrified at what they saw in Iraq. They couldn't wait to get out of there. They thought that there was things were so bad that they perhaps ought to enter, publish an interim report. To let people know, because it was going out of control so quickly. 71% of us are dissatisfied with Bush's Iraq handling. 71%. So what does that mean? His approval rating is 29%? I think the approval rating of Congress is something like 13%. And by the way, on the Foley issue, where everybody washed their hands of that, willful ignorance was one of the terms used, otherwise known as deniability. Here was the conversation, and apparently this was a conversation that was reported to a Republican representative in 2001, I think. And here's Foley saying to an underage page, "You and your boxers too?" And the teenager says, "Nope, just got home. I've had a college interview that went late." And Foley says, "Well, strip down and get relaxed." This is all email. And then Foley says, "Do I make you a little horny?" And the teen says, "A little." And Foley says, "Oh, cool." And as I said, the Vanity Fair report talks about how everybody knew that Foley was gay. I say this because this is an administration that was going to try and protect you from everything. It said that it was the adults. Actually, the adults who've come in, by the way, and muscled Dickie aside and slammed him up against the wall is the Iraq study group. They all look like adults compared to him. So let me add this to the conversation. This is something that you may not be aware of going on in Iraq. Here's what we do know about what's going on in Iraq. We know that there are 100,000 contractors in Iraq right now, almost as many contractors as there are American military in Iraq. We also know that the federal government is asking federal government workers to go in and staff on an interim basis some of the bureaus in Iraq. You know, be there several months at a time. Well, if you're a contractor in Iraq, you know, you're making big bucks, and that's the trade-off. The risk is so high that you stand to make a lot of money if you survive, and if you don't, well, that's it. But you know what the risks are. The government is asking its workers to go in and help staff some of these agencies, and all they're willing to offer is a measly little tax break. Well, we know that's going on so far. We know that it's deteriorating and grave and horrible there. Let me add to the story. U.S. criminal gangs have apparently gained a foothold in the U.S. military and are using overseas deployments to spread tentacles around the globe, and this is according to the FBI. Apparently, gang members, according to the FBI, have been documented on or near military bases in Germany, Italy, Japan, South Korea, and in Iraq. Among the cases, there is all kinds of criminal gang activity going on in Iraq. Now, I don't know if that's because the Army lowered its standards in order to, because they will take anybody, it looks like. They are so short of people who will fight that they're willing to take just about anybody. So I don't know if that's part of the issue or not. But you have gang activity going on in places like Iraq. Isn't that amazing? And this administration that promised to protect you? Well, let me give you the latest. Remember the Dubai ports? We're going to participate in keeping our ports safe. This is an administration, by the way. There was a bipartisan panel that recommended, that was prescient about 9/11. And the administration ignored it, blew it off, forget it. They didn't want to hear about it. And it was Gary Hart and it was Warren Rudman who headed this. And they had 1,000 years of experience in the aggregate, this panel. And then when 9/11 happened, the same panel came up with recommendations to make us safer and more secure. And among those recommendations was to shore up our ports. We haven't done anything. When did 9/11 happen? All these years. And we haven't done a thing. So here it is. The Dubai Ports World, the airborne firm whose purchase of American port facilities caused a U.S. political uproar, is going to join a program aimed at stopping nuclear weapons being smuggled into the U.S. Now, all of this takes on greater currency because of that spy who died of polonium-210 radiation. The program would involve screening U.S.-bound cargo for radiation at more than a half a dozen ports, including Britain, Honduras, Oman, and South Korea. Dubai Ports World is among several international shipping and port operators chosen for the screening program mandated by the Safe Accountability for Every Port Act of 2006, legislation that resulted from the Dubai Ports controversy. So Dubai Ports became the center of all this controversy, yet they're going to participate in the screening that's going on. So it's like a backdoor deal, it looks like. 349-1320. And the U.S., on another front, all cargo sent by container ship to the U.S. state, from the United States, to the U.S., sorry, to the United States, from three ports, they're listing them. So if you're going to smuggle some radiated cargo, you're not going to smuggle from these three ports. That would be Pakistan, Honduras, and Southampton, England, are going to be scanned for hidden nuclear weapons or components starting next year under a federal anti-terrorist program. Now, how many other places are ships coming in from, other ports, that are not going to be screened? How is it that we have all this money to fight a war that made no sense from the beginning, that was built on lies? The reasons for going into that war were built on lies. We don't have any money to really keep the country safe in ways that would matter. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I have never seen anything as incompetent as this administration. So for somebody like Stan to call in and say how the progressives have been worse for this country than perhaps this administration, I don't get it. I don't see how you can come to that conclusion and be and have an IQ even, you know, and be relatively sane if there is any definition for sanity. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We've got some slow-moving traffic southbound 99, it looks like, over there by Arco Arena. Papa Roach, My Chemical Romance, Gnarls Barkley in town, along with three of the very cool local bands we've got. So you know that that's why it's stopped up over there. Aurora, Track Fighter, and the Secretions. Madison Avenue, Hazel Avenue, we have a two-car crash. And eastbound 90, just west of Northgate, we have a two-car crash there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Stay and ski free.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, so folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. Wait, I know. What you want? I want T-Boss to give me some headphones in, and I want that sign to make me a fly tree. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year. What a happy
on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Let's head over to the phones. Paula and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paula.
Hey, Enid, I'm real nervous calling the show, but here goes. Sometimes my friends and I, we joke about, you know, the white guys who are running and ruining the country. We joke the world improves one funeral at a time. And after hearing Stan, I'm thinking, you know, the world would improve shortly after his funeral.
Oh, we don't want to wish that. We don't want to wish that on our listeners.
Oh,
we like Stan. Stan provoked a wonderful conversation.
No. That where that thought came from and how that can come out of his mouth is really, really angry. That's hateful stuff. That's way beyond discussion.
I didn't take it as hateful. I took it as misguided. I did not find Stan hateful. Now, maybe I am just too out of it to realize that.
I don't think you're out of it. I think, you know, I listen to you often, and I definitely don't think you're out of it. But I thought that was really the depths that came from to say something like that. I mean, to say something like that, that was terrible. Shoot them? You're kidding me.
Well, I forgot that part of it, and I'm not clear what he was trying to say. I think what he was really trying to say all the way through is that maybe you're right. Maybe I was too lenient.
He said we would have done them a favor if we shot them.
Oh, that's right. You are right about that. Well, I ignored that part, Paula, because I just decided.
Oh, my God.
I decided that he was more misguided.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Authorities say it was a one-man terrorist plot. 22-year-old Derek Sharif of Rockford, Illinois, is charged with plotting to set off hand grenades at a mall on one of the busiest shopping days of the year, the Friday before Christmas. He allegedly met with an undercover agent and offered a set of stereo speakers in exchange for four grenades and a gun. Patrick Fitzgerald, the U.S. attorney in Chicago, is certain Sharif acted alone.
The best fact that would give people comfort that it's safe to go to malls is that if he were being directed from overseas and financed by overseas, he wouldn't be trading in two stereo speakers to pay for the grenades.
Within hours of that announcement, police in Auburn, Washington, stopped and searched an SUV near the Auburn Supermall. State Trooper Jeff Merrill says the driver was heavily armed.
He had a number of rifles, shotguns. He had about a dozen swords. He had a number of loaded AR or M16 magazines in the vehicle.
Police say the 45-year-old man is listed as a violent offender. There were warrants for his arrest. Four people are dead after a shooting late today in downtown Chicago. Authorities say a man armed with a snub-nosed revolver, a knife, and a hammer went to the top floor of the 38-story Citigroup Center and opened fire, wounding four people. When police arrived, he was holding a hostage. Shots were fired, and the gunman died. Three of his victims later died in the hospital. Jim Mattson was in the building at the time.
Most of us decided to leave because it was a little bit of a messy situation at the very beginning. The people up in the tower stayed, and obviously probably was the better thing to do.
The Citigroup Center contained a train station. The rush hour commute was seriously disrupted. At least one person is dead in a fire that's burning right now at a big apartment complex in Long Beach, California. KCBS-TV's helicopter reporter Larry Welk is over the scene.
The highest concentration of flames right now, the northern section of the building, and you can see flames just shooting out of that apartment building.
How it started isn't known. Two people have been taken to hospitals in critical condition. The House Ethics Committee issued its report today on the Mark Foley scandal and what Republican leaders didn't do about it. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger.
The report says those at the very top decided to remain willfully ignorant of the potential consequences of Foley's inappropriate contacts with young male pages. It also singles out two key leaders, John Boehner of Ohio and Tom Reynolds of New York, for sticking their heads in the sand. Neither showed any curiosity regarding why a former young page would have been made uncomfortable by emails from Congressman Foley.
The panel believes Speaker Dennis Hastert learned of the inappropriate emails long before the scandal broke. Hastert has said that if he was told, he doesn't remember. While the Ethics Committee raises questions about the leader's judgment, it finds they did not break any House rules. The Dow up 29 points today. The Nasdaq gained 9 points. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Jean Kirkpatrick, the first woman to represent the United States at the United Nations, has died at 80. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has her story.
She started out as a student of Marxism and a Democrat.
I am something of a convert myself to the conservative cause.
And even though a convert, she became a staunch Republican conservative, advisor to Ronald Reagan and his ambassador to the UN, where she was outspoken.
It is a bit like a tin ring circus at the UN during the General Assembly season.
At the 1984 GOP convention, she famously charged Democrats with blaming America First. Then it was on to think tanks, and the day after 9/11, Kirkpatrick and other conservatives urged Congress to declare war on Islamic fundamentalists. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Jose Uribe, a former shortstop for the San Francisco Giants, was killed early today in a car crash in his native Dominican Republic. He was 47. Uribe played in the majors for 9 years. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. You know what I want for Christmas? I want a Dickie to resign and not come back, and the two Dicks running this. And for Hanukkah and for Kwanzaa, too. A couple of things that I want to share with you. If you are just joining us, we've been a lot of places, and I'll review some of that. But before I do, one of the stories that I think captured a lot of our hearts this week was a very, very tragic story of a San Francisco family, the Kim family, the mother, the father, the two little kids who were spending Thanksgiving with friends in Oregon. They never arrived at their destination. They took the wrong road, and it's impassable in winter, and it gets even worse. It was one of those things where it was one unlucky thing after another. It wasn't one unlucky thing. It was like a whole cascade of unlucky things. And one of them was this, that they took a turn on a remote logging road that the remote logging road that James Kim and his family drove down before getting stranded deep in the Rogue River Canyon is normally blocked by a locked metal gate. So normally it would let you know, don't go down this road. But it was open the night they got lost because a vandal had cut the lock. According to authorities, the Kims were stranded then for more than a week with little food after driving 15 miles past the gate. James Kim was later found dead of exposure after setting out on foot for help. The wife and their daughters, Penelope and Sabine, 7 months, Penelope is 4 and Sabine, 7 months, were airlifted out. I have to say something. This is a story that I thought was so tragic and broke my heart. But I when you are on a road, a logging road, where the snow has got to be horrible. I mean, this is an impassable road. How is it that you go 15 miles on it? Is this part of the men don't want to ask directions and there's nobody to ask anyway? How is it that you just don't turn around and go back? And I mean, how is it that you keep going? There was something so dogged in James Kim, something so heartbreakingly dogged, that the researchers the people who found him, the rescuers, sorry, who found him, said that the fact that he had gotten as far as he had gotten, he'd certainly gotten disoriented, it was a sort of superhuman, inhuman effort. He was suffering from hypothermia. He was, making not the best judgments, which is what happens when you're suffering from hypothermia. And, you don't know where you are, and you're kind of going around in circles. So the whole thing is sad. But here was this logging road. Nobody should have ever gone anywhere near this logging road. It was a locked road, and some vandal had broken the lock, and he was able to get through. So one more sad part of that story. Every year, John Carroll writes the same, it might be a little bit different version, but he writes sort of the same column. And it used to be called The Untied Way. Remember, we've been talking about Secret Santas? Well, here's where we've been. All right, you've been incarcerated. You don't even know where we have been today. But we've been a lot of places. We've been at the John Doolittle Ranch, where it turns out he has paid about $44,000 to a prominent firm of attorneys who specialize in ethics and campaign finance issues. And that's just for 1 month's work. $44,000 on top of about $50,000, and that was for 1 month's work, mid-October to mid-November, and that's in addition to the $50,000 he's paid to a criminal defense law firm, so almost $100,000 to lawyers. It sounds to me like things are heating up, unless he's paying all this money so that they don't. But I'm hoping that they heat up, and I'm hoping that this opens the door for Charlie Brown to scoot right through. We're also talking about human papillomavirus and a possible law that could be passed in California to make being vaccinated for it or inoculated against it mandatory if you're in the sixth grade. You can't start in your girl. It's not for boys. It's only for girls. And you can't enter the sixth grade unless you've been vaccinated against it or inoculated for it. 349-1320-866-620-61320. We've been talking about Mark Foley and that report where no laws were actually broken. And there was a lot of willful ignorance that went on by an administration that pretends that it can make you safer from everything, and which only makes things less safe for us. So whether we're talking about the Iraq Study Group, as we have also discussed today, Dickie's going to look it over. Maybe when he has a little time from reading Shakespeare, I don't know. And you know, you don't want to stand too close to him because you don't need a fan when he's reading. His lips are moving and there's a lot of breeze that's created. So we've been talking about that. And Stan called us, one of our listeners, who identifies himself as a Reagan conservative, and he believes, although he's not fond of this administration, he believes that progressives have done more harm to this country than conservatives. So that's where we stand right now. So let me throw into the conversation John Carroll's Untied Way. He does this every year. And the reason it's called the Untied Way is if you look at it really quickly, it looks like the United Way. Well, don't confuse it with the United Way. This is the Untied Way. He says the sleigh bells are tinkling if you happen to live in a heavily sleighed area, and the snow is falling, and avatars of Santa Claus are coming to town. Indeed, have already arrived in town as the gift-giving giant works out its naughty nice ratios adjusted for morality deflation, which means it's time again for the Untied Way. The Untied Way is a non-traditional charity. It has no officers, no headquarters, no brochures, no regional offices, and no guidelines. It is not a tax-deductible organization because it is not an organization at all. It issues no receipts, nor do letters come in the mail thanking you for your generous contribution. The Untied Way does not have a website. The Untied Way does not sponsor a fun run, a masked ball, a gourmet dinner, a silent auction, a noisy auction, a turtle race, or a runway show. It does not have buttons, badges, or stickers. It will not send you address labels in the mail. The Untied Way has no overhead at all, and 100% of its donations go directly to those in need. The Untied Way supports and embraces all other charities. The Untied Way urges you to give generously to all of them, or the ones you always give to, or maybe some new ones. The Untied Way exists to care for those people who, as is so often said, fall through the cracks. The United Way, the Untied Way, he says, is all about the cracks. The Untied Way is not so much an organization as an idea. Really, it's hardly an idea. It's really more of a plan. Untied Way volunteers follow the plan. Only they know how well the plan works. Only they can say what benefits are derived. Untied Way volunteers are self-selected. No records are kept. Untied Way volunteers are not bonded, carry no special identification, and do not solicit funds. Untied Way volunteers give money away. That's it. So, here's how it works. This is the age of ATMs, so the ATM is the centerpiece of the Untied Way. Go to your ATM and take out some money. How much money is entirely your business, but the sum should be sufficient for you to notice its absence. It shouldn't hurt, but maybe it should pinch a little. Take your money to an area of town where there are people who seek funds from passing strangers. Now, in the Bay Area, that might be the someplace on the BART lines. Coincidentally, John Carroll writes, BART serves many of these areas, the result of an unprecedented BART Untied Way collaboration, of which BART is unaware. Then you take your fistful of $20 bills and you stroll down the avenue. When someone asks you for money, you give them a 20. You repeat this until you are out of $20 bills. You are now an official Untied Way volunteer and are entitled to all the rights and privileges adhering thereto, including perhaps a no-host ride on a monorail back to your home. You might expect gratitude from your clients, but you may not get it. Some of your clients may not process the denomination of the contribution, and therefore your special virtue will go unremarked. Sometimes, alas, your clients will say insulting or incomprehensible things to you. Other times, they may be overly grateful and follow you down the street asking in stentorian tones for God to bless you. The untied way is not particularly a comfortable charity. Sometimes people ask, won't the untied way clients use their money foolishly? Won't they buy drugs or cheap booze or unsavory companionship? And the answer is, yes, they might. Have you ever spent your money foolishly? Have you ever behaved unwisely? Untied way clients are human beings like you. Sometimes people ask, are the untied way clients worthy of these donations? What does worthy mean? How much suffering would you want them to have? How much virtue do you feel is appropriate? It's like this. You could spend your time determining the eligibility of clients, asking them to fill out questionnaires and describe what other kinds of financial assistance they are receiving, or you can give them money and move on. The second way is more efficient. It is the assumption of the untied way that people on the streets who ask for money need the money. It is not an occupation that people aspire to. The people on the streets are not middle managers seeking to supplement their incomes. They need money, and you have money. Maybe they are reduced to asking for money because they made foolish choices. But again, there, but for the grace of God, go you. That is the untied way. Well, what do you think about the untied way? Do you have the nerve to go to your ATM? Now, I have to admit, your goddess has not done this, although I've thought about doing this. Go to your ATM, withdraw a stack of 20s, and go to a not-so-wonderful part of town and start distributing these 20s without, you know, maybe somebody going with you if you're a defenseless goddess such as moi. It could be wonderful. You do feel like Santa, I think. I've been in the position of not distributing 20s, but sometimes really good tickets, and lots of times we have things to give away here. Would you do it? Could you do it? And if you are in the actual business of helping clients like this, do you think this is a bad idea? Because I think some of you in the poverty, you know, as some of you are called poverty pimps, and we don't mean it that way, but some of you in the poverty, in the social services, poverty establishment and so on, maybe this isn't such a hot idea, but, you know, it can't be bad. How bad is it that the universe rewards you with a $20 bill just for walking down the street? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Lots of times when I drive into work, I am treated to the sight of a particular corner right here at the end of Madison, coming off the freeway. There is a corner, and very often there's the same man on that corner, and he's got a sign. His sign does not say, "We'll work for sex." His sign says, I need your help," or sometimes, "Bad things happen to good people," or, you know, it's a sign so that when you come up to that light, he hopes you're going to give him some money. And he can stand there for hours. I don't know how many hours because I'm only there for a short time as I'm on my way to our beautiful studios at 1320 Left Channel. But he is there. And one day, he was on one corner, and across the street from him was another guy working another corner, except that the other guy on the other corner had one of those signs, you know, for apartment rental or home sales or something that they move around. And I'm not sure what the law is, but you know, I guess you can't just put a sign up there. You have to have a human holding it and moving around and getting your attention. And somebody told me those kids who do it, or people or adults, are making a pretty decent, I don't know, $15 an hour. Somebody said that's what they get for standing there and wiggling that sign around. And you see them in the suburbs. You see them all over the place wiggling those signs around. And I thought, what a contrast. You see, on one corner, somebody who's wiggling the sign around and getting $15 an hour, and the corner right across the street is somebody who is asking you to give him some money because life has been hard, and maybe he's too addled to figure out how to get a job wiggling a sign around. I just thought it was just interesting, and you might have some thoughts about that, and you might have some thoughts about the untied way. And if you're in the social services establishment, is this a good thing to do? Probably you might say no. Maybe you wouldn't say no. And if you're not, and if you're thinking about how you can be helpful, is this a way to do it? If you're in a position to go to the ATM and withdraw that stack of 20s, you know, you want to be able to feel the absence. You want it to pinch. a little bit, as John Carroll said, so that you know you're giving something. And is it pouring it down a hole, or are you really helping somebody? Hard to know. The secret, the guy who's the secret Santa, first got this idea when a waitress served him at a drive-in, and she had this thin coat, and he gave her a 20. His meal was just a couple of bucks. He gave her a 20, and tears poured down her face. She said to him, "You have no idea what this means." And he has since given away $1.3 million. He is suffering from a very serious form of cancer right now. So I don't know if it buys you good health. It may not even buy you good karma. Maybe he lived 20 years longer than he would have. Who knows? But it's I love the idea of doing it. Has anybody done it? I'd love a report. Phyllis in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome. Good. Thank you.
Hey, I've kind of done something similar like that, and I got to say it feels really good. There's an organization here in town that helps homeless teens, and I've gone down a few times and just walked in and handed the people there, a bunch of gift certificates so that the kids can give themselves some meal that
Now, wait a minute. That serves homeless. I didn't hear the last part of that. Serving homeless whom?
Homeless teenagers.
Oh, teens. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And where do you? What kind of gift certificates do you get? Where do you go for them? What do you give them? And from what?
Something like Carl's Jr. or McDonald's, something that they can get at least a decent meal
And what denominations do you give these? Can we ask you, or is that your business?
I usually get them in like $10 denominations, but I'll go in with $60-$70 worth sometimes, so that I can help out at least a few of them at a time, and especially this time of year when it's cold outside and things aren't going so well, it does feel kind of good to help another person who is, less fortunate due to circumstances beyond their control sometimes.
Well, I think that's a lovely idea. So instead of passing out cash, you're passing out meal gift certificates.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. Thank you for calling us. 349-1320. Have you some ideas on how the Untied Way? Now, John Carroll's idea is you give them a $20 bill, and then they can buy whatever they want. And they may use it to buy the things you wish they wouldn't buy, especially if they're addled or if they're addicted, or they may buy some unwise companionship. It's not your call. You give away the money, and they're going to decide how to spend it. Benjamin in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, Enid. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was just going to comment, the guy who just came on, I almost beat me to it, but usually what happens is when I'm walking down the street and someone says, they'll usually ask for, a certain amount of money for a certain thing, I've noticed. They'll say, can I get a dollar for a cup of coffee or something like that. So one of the things I'll do is I'll say, well, I'll take you to buy, it's like, well, let's go to Starbucks, I'll get you some coffee. And sometimes they'll take me up on my offer, but a lot of times they'll say, no, I just want the money.
And then when they say, I just want the money, what do you do, Benjamin?
I say, well, I ask them, I say, well, you asked me, you said you wanted a cup of coffee. I mean, I'm trying to help you out here. Sometimes I'll give them like not as much. I'll give them maybe a dollar instead of two or three like I was going to.
Well, maybe they don't like your conversation and you have to sit there at Starbucks and watch them drink the coffee. Why don't you just give them $5? They may be picky about who they want to go to Starbucks with. And Starbucks, talk about inflated prices for a lifestyle kind of a choice. Starbucks, what is it going to cost you? $3? $5? You want a refill? It's another $5. You want a Cafe Cinnamonier? It's another $10. You want some cream in your coffee? That's $20. So give them, and then they can go get that 60-cent coffee and use the rest at McDonald's or buy that Thunderbird or whatever they're going to do.
That's true. Oh, and another thing, you were mentioning the people who wave the signs. I work in an apartment complex, and we use those guys. And they're called human directionals, by the way. I know it's just a really weird name for them.
Why do we see so many of them? Is it illegal to have a stationary sign, or is it that these are thought to be more effective?
It's not so much that it's illegal. I mean, it's because Sacramento is such a real estate focused economy. I mean, it's just Sacramento's really riding the bubble hard, and they're really, you know, if you'll notice, most of those signs have to do with new home developments or condos.
Right.
And one of the things, I mean, I used to be in real estate. One of the things that's going on is that the housing market is not what it used to be. So all these, you know, new home builders suddenly have too much inventory, and they're trying everything they can to get it sold. And they make actually about between $9 to $13 an hour. And a lot of the people who do that actually are homeless or were recently homeless. So
I think that's a great, I really think that's a great pairing, because you can hold the I'm homeless, please help me, we'll work for sex sign, or you can wiggle around with that apartment development or home sale sign and make yourself, I don't know what you can make if anybody's ever panhandled, what do you make? I don't know. I don't know how much you can make. Maybe you can make a lot. I don't know. Haven't you know? We'll do radio for money. I don't know. Benjamin, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and we're talking about the Untied Way on this fabulous Friday. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, things are slow moving, especially over there by Arco Arena and I-5. We've got a pretty cool concert going on in town, and I think that's what everybody's doing. Howe Avenue at Hurley Way, we have a two-car crash. Minor injuries, emergency vehicles are there. And, well, that's about it. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of the stereo? Let's subliminal my America.
Stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe, or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left-handed listeners save an extra $150. Go to hallswindowcenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Elm in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Now, 349-1320.
Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing the bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bells chime. Dancing and prancing and jingle bells swear. In the frosty air.
6:31 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about the Untied Way. We're talking about going out and either buying gift cards for people who really need them or passing out 20s the way John Carroll does it. Have you done it? Are you thinking about doing something like this? Is it a little bit daunting to consider it? What are your thoughts? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. John in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hey, I don't encourage panhandling. So what I do is, if I see somebody who is not asking for money, I'll walk up and give it to them. Like at a gas station or something, if they're just standing around, or if they're, you know, if it's somebody going through garbage cans looking for recycles, I'll just walk up and give them money. But I will absolutely not give money to people who are asking for money, or I'll carry Jamba Juice cards in my wallet and give them
Jamba Juice. They had you can get Listeria Jamba Juice. They had to withdraw those strawberries. You can buy cards from Jamba Juice. Is that what you
every
said?
Every time I fill up my my Jamba Juice card, you get a free smoothie.
Okay.
So I take my free smoothie card and I carry them in my wallet and I give them to people.
Okay.
So they're getting nutrition, but I won't encourage giving money.
All right. Now I'm gonna give you a little grief here. You're giving away something that didn't cost you anything, so you feel no pain. Do you ever give away something that costs you something?
Yeah.
You got the free smoothies, and you so you're giving those away. But what about out of your own wallet?
No, you didn't hear me. When I first said I won't give money to people who ask for it, but I give money to people who don't ask.
Okay.
I'll walk up to somebody who's looking through a recycle bin, and I'll walk up and give them like $5.
Okay. Well, all right. I thank you for the call. Is there a moral, if somebody asks you for money, should you try to satisfy that request? Now, I know we're just bombarded because there are a lot of homeless people around, but just a question. Is there any morality involved, or are you just a sucker for doing it? 349-1320, Bonnie and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bonnie.
Oh, hi, sweetie. It's me again.
Welcome.
I had a
a thing on that Johnson's War on Poverty.
Yes.
It was a wonderful thing that was put in place. The problem is the proper safeguards were not put in place, and it therefore created an enormous amount of fraud and Friolas. I can remember in the very early 70s when the projects, I don't want to be racist here because it isn't racist, but there were projects where it was primarily a black situation, and they would come in and spend these enormous amounts with their food stamps on the most elaborate stuff. And it created a lot of stuff because if you give something for nothing, you get nothing in return. Had there been a little bit of work program involved there, I think it would have worked a lot better. They certainly deserved a break. Good Lord, that goes without saying. I think he also instituted the Medicare thing. I'm not positive on that.
Okay.
But there were many things he put in place.
Here's what I want to say. We're living in a time, I think, that's a tough time.
Yes.
A lot of jobs are outsourced. A lot of the kind of manufacturing jobs that you could find in the Midwest that had to do with the auto industry, for example, those jobs have gone away.
Right.
They are not coming back.
Right.
People are really scrambling, and a lot of people, particularly this time of year, are really
right.
hurting. And how can we equalize it out in a way? How can we do that? That's the question.
Well,
how can we do it in a freelance way? We have institutions, and they do what they do, but
yeah.
That really, I think, is the question this time of year. Bonnie, thanks very much for the information. 349-1320. And I want to add to the conversation also. This is the time of year that you get those Christmas letters, those long letters that forget about all the horrible things that have happened. Just like if you ever open up, I love this. I love what they call in the business shelter books. Do you know what shelter books are? You know, like Architectural Digest and home design kind of books. Your shelter, you know, food, clothing, and shelters. They call them shelter books, shelter magazines, home magazines, that kind of thing. You open them up, and there are these perfect rooms that don't, you know, they don't even reek of all the fights that happen in that between that couple in their marriage, or the fights that happen, or the drug-addled whatever with the kids, or the, you know, up one side and down the other. These are perfect rooms, and only good things happen, and you look at these and you think, how can my rooms look like that? I'm never going to live up to that. Well, it's the same thing with Christmas letters. It's that time of year again to write those letters. In a way, I like getting them, because there's an art to writing the Christmas letters. But they're so... when they include too much sad news and bad news, they're it's tough to read them. And some of these letters are so relentlessly perky that there's no that it's just one high moment after another. I'm thinking that Dickie should maybe send out a Christmas letter. And what should it say? Let's put our thinking caps on. What if the president, George W. Dickie Bush, sends out his Christmas letter? Or maybe Dick Cheney, the two Dicks, will be sending out their Christmas letter saying how good everything is in Iraq, how we're going to stay the course, how we only can lose if we leave. I mean, what are they going to say in their Christmas letters this year? Has anybody got any ideas? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Tony in Sac. Hi, Tony. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, great show. Keep it coming.
Thank you.
Just a comment about do we give money out to people or not? Well, it's the very nature of this country, starting with the political parties, to ask for money when it's political season. You know, in the name of influence and fear, money is gotten from hardworking people and from the business community. And when it comes out right to having a business development, airports are given, municipalities, railroads are given land grants outright, you know? So it's an investment.
So you're saying,
society.
For the rich, there are always handouts. Like for Halliburton, they get a big handout.
Yeah.
We'll work for no-bid contracts and with no oversight, too. Okay, I think Tony got cut off. Thank you, Tony. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Shelley in Red Bluff. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Enid. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. Likewise.
I'm just calling about the poverty thing, and one of your previous callers had said something about when you give something for nothing in return. I don't agree with that. You get a lot in return. You get a sense of self-satisfaction. you know, if you give to 10 people, $20 to 10 people, even if one of those people uses it for something good, that one person is the thing you have to focus on.
Well, that's right. And also things happen in increments. So you might give the $20 to 10 people, and none of them might do anything that you would think is productive. But, you know, sometimes it takes you a little bit farther than you have been. And then the next 20, or the next good deed, or the next good thing that happens takes them a little bit farther until eventually you get, you know, I like the analogy of headlights. We're all in the dark, really. And the thing about headlights is you can go only a few hundred miles or a few hundred feet with headlights. But using that method, you can go many hundreds of miles. You know, you just keep going forward. So, you know, maybe $20 bills are that way, too. Thank you, Shelley, for pointing it out. I really appreciate
the
call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, my mom said years and years and years ago that you should always, you know, those random acts of kindness is very, very important. But you never know who is underneath that cloth and that face and the dirty, you know, the dirty things. I mean, you do not know.
I always said that you never know who's underneath the next torn T-shirt, because in the Bay Area, billionaires wear torn T-shirts.
Yeah.
You never know who they are.
But you know what? It could be, you know, I believe...
Maybe it's an angel.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to tell them no. If they ask me for some money, I mean, I'm going to give them $100, but, well, I never have $100, so it doesn't matter. Traffic's looking okay, though. In North Sac, Madison Avenue and Manzanita, we have a two-car crash, and westbound 50th. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm with Mike Franz, General Manager.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me.
at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Nick Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
With Mel Torme, 6:46 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours from 3 to 7, and so we don't have a whole lot of time. I love that song. Some of the best, I'll have to read you my Christmas essays that have been published. I'm not doing all that much writing because I don't have that much time these days, but some of the best Christmas songs are Irving Berlin and Mel Torme and... We do have a little bit of breaking news, actually. It's not a big breaking news story, but it's a little bit of breaking news. This is Representative, remember Cynthia McKinney? She didn't win her election, and she's a little bit on the nuts-o-matic side. Remember, she's the one who was accused of manhandling or womanhandling Capitol Police. She didn't wear her Member of Congress badge, and she wanted to muscle her way through. Well, she's on her way out the door, and in what was likely her final legislative act in Congress, and I'm sure she's doing this as her final act of grandstanding, she announced a bill today to, guess what? This is our Christmas present, to impeach Dickey. That's right. She wants to impeach the president. We have to send him a lot of peaches. That's what we have to do first. Peach jam, because he is in a jam, and he could be peached over it. The legislation has no chance of passing. It serves as a symbolic parting shot, not only at Bush, but also at Democratic leaders, because the Democrats have said, and Nancy Pelosi have said, they're not going to impeach Bush. She's made it clear that she's not going to entertain proposals to sanction Bush and has warned the liberal wing of her party against making political hay of impeachment. McKinney, a Democrat who drew national headlines when she struck a Capitol police officer, has long said that Bush was never legitimately elected. Well, in that, she's right. In introducing her legislation in the final hours of the current do-nothing Congress that worked 2 days a week on average, she said Bush had violated his oath of office to defend the Constitution and the nation's laws, which he has turned into... What would you like to say? Compost, really. He has composted the nation's laws. McKinney has made no secret of her frustration with Democratic leaders since voters ousted her from office in the Democratic primary this summer. She has not discussed her career plans, but increasingly embraced her image as a controversial figure. So she is calling for the impeachment of Dickey. It's going nowhere. But if you were Dickey and you were going to write that Christmas letter this year, the two Dicks, Dick Cheney and George W. Dickey Bush... two fellow travelers, which used to be a phrase that was used to describe communists. What would your Christmas letter consist of? Dear Enid, This was the year we trashed the Constitution. This is the year we let, you know, what would, how would we do this? But we'd have to be witty about it, wouldn't we? We would have to be, even if Dickey himself. But you know, we get these Christmas letters. You know, we won't mention that. We're not going to mention that DUI. I'm sure Dickey's not going to mention any of his DUIs either. You're not going to mention his military service. You're not going to mention that your parents have committed mayhem on each other. You're not going to say your marriage is in shreds. You're not going to say any of that in your Christmas letter, are you? It's a time for a little bit of a public relations effort. So if you have any thoughts about Christmas letters, do you like getting them? Do you send them out? Is this like the, is this the literary equivalent at Christmas of the fruitcake that gets sent out and never eaten and passed from, you know, people re-gift fruitcakes, not that anybody notices. I mean, you can throw a fruitcake, some of them bounce and some of them shatter glass, I think. I'm not sure. But I think the poor fruitcake has been maligned. Yes, I do. I think if you do it really well, it can be delicious. You know, you put some booze in there and you do it beautifully. You use a really good ingredients, and I just don't think we should be making fun of fruitcakes like that. And, you know, you cannot make fun of certain vegetables. And Oprah found this out. You cannot make fun of broccoli, I think. There are certain vegetables that it is against the law to make fun of them, and I'm not making this up. The growers have passed laws, and you can't put these things down, I guess. And remember when Oprah went to trial because she dissed beef? They went after her. You're not allowed to diss certain things. So Christmas letters. I think they're, you know what, I'll tell you what. Here's why I like Christmas letters from people. They're as much fun to read for what they don't say as for what they do. So the Christmas letter that only says how the kid is getting straight A's and is going to a fancy university, and how the mom and the dad have just gotten huge promotions and they're making $1 zillion each, and how they are living in a house that has a greater square footage than any your neighborhood Walmart. I mean, I think these are so fun. The pretentiousness factor is, you know, kind of fun. The pretensiosoness factor. And then you have, of course, a brisk trade in X-rated pornament. These are Christmas decorations that are on the porn side. And apparently there are X-rated snowmen and reindeer, and you can buy them for $9 in various stores. And some people say they defame Christmas, but I don't know if we can defame it any more than it is defaming itself, because this is turned into one big shopping orgasm. And here's the other thing I hate. I hate getting Christmas cards from people with no human markings on them whatsoever. They aren't signed. There isn't the address has been, you know, a label or a computer or something, computer generated. There isn't a sentiment on there. There's not a human marking on that card at all. And to me, it sort of subverts the holiday, which I love. I love, and probably more so because I grew up on a farm, a largely Protestant small town, kind of a Jewish outsider. I wasn't allowed to be in the Christmas play. My grandfather didn't think that would be good. And so I think for that reason, I love Christmas music. And we're trying to find some Kwanzaa and Hanukkah music, too. So we're going to be equal opportunity in all of this. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some slow moving traffic over there by Arco Arena. If you can possibly go a different route, that might be a better way. Madison Avenue in Manzanita, we have a two-car crash. And Howe Avenue at Hurley, we have a two-car crash with minor injuries. We have emergency vehicles on scene. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
They're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on
on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Christmas tree.